ജയമശുപാദപരമഹംസപരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീശിവാൻ അഭയചരണാനന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി ജയം തെലിയാപ്രേഷ്ടോമിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസപരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശതശ്രീശിവാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ ശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്കി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവൃന്ദക്കി നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്കി പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്കി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ശ്രീ ഗൗരാംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമി ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോസ്തവ ജായതേ കുരുഷ്വ ദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യത പ്രഭോ നമ സങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്വയായതരദസ് അർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തകുഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിതകൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ ഭരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യദേത്രകൃതിഭി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തക്ഷണ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഗമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭൂയി ഭാവുകാഹം സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമാം പ്രവ്രജന്തമനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമജ്ജുഭാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മൈതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനതോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിഥിതീർഷദം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനും ഉപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേത് കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാഭി കാഭി കാഭി നമാഹോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശതാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാദാലയേശമനിശം പ്രതിഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So in the Chatushloki Bhagavatam which we are discussing now the four verses aham eva sameva agni nanyadyat sadasat param paschad aham yadedacha യുവശിഷ്യത സ്വസ്മ്യഹം ഹൃദയർത്ഥം യത് പ്രതീയതേ നത് പ്രതീയത ചാത്മനി തദ്വിദ്യാത്മനോമായം യഥാഭാസം യഥാതമ യഥാമഹന്തി ഭൂതാനി ഭൂതേഷു ഉച്ഛാവചേഷു അനു പ്രവിഷ്ടാന്യപ്രവിഷ്ടാനി തഥാ തേഷു ന തേഷ്വഹം ഏതാവൽ ദേവജിജ്ഞാസ്യം തത്വജിജ്ഞാസനാത്മന അന്വയ വ്യതിരേഖാഭ്യാം യത്സ്യാൽ സർവത്ര സർവദ ദീസ് ഫോർ വേഴ്സസ് ഫ്രം ദി സെക്കൻഡ് കാൻറ്റോ വിച്ച് ഈസ് നോൺ all known as the Chatushloki. That's what we are discussing. So, Krishna says to Brahma that aham evasam evagre atmanam idam agram asil aham eva asam na anyasad asad param. In other words, that you know, originally before creation അഹമേവാ ആസം ഓൺലി ദ സോൾ വാസ് ദ ഓൺലി ദി സോൾ വാസ് ദ കൃഷ്ണ വിൽ സേ ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് അഹമേവാ ആസം ദാറ്റ് അഹം റെഫേഴ്സ് ടു ദ സോൾ സ്പിരിറ്റ് വാസ് ഓൺലി എക്സിസ്റ്റിംഗ് ഇൻ ദി ബിഗിനിങ് ആൻഡ് ന അന്യസദ് അസത് പരം വെദർ ദറ്റ് വാസ് ഗ്രോസ് ഓർ സട്ടിൽ വേ നത്തിങ് എൽസ് എക്സിസ്റ്റഡ് ആൻഡ് സിമിലർലി മൂവിംഗ് നോൺ മൂവിംഗ് നൺ ഓഫ് ദം എക്സിസ്റ്റഡ് ബിഫോർ ഓൺലി ചൈതന്യം only the living force inside. And that was complete in itself, and then the creation started. When creation started, namely different names and forms have come into existence. And Krishna is saying here that after that also only me existed at the end, only the soul existed at the end. So after the devastation at the end, the final devastation, ultimately, what remains is only me, Krishna says. It's only me who remain. Avashishyeda sosmyaham. Whatever that remains at the end, that's me. That's what Krishna is saying. The famous example for this is, from gold, you make so many different things, isn't it? You make the bangles, you make the chain, and you also make the anklets and ring and so many different things you make from the gold. And afterwards, if you melt all of that, it'll come back to gold again. Everything becomes gold again. So similarly, the example is like this. When we have vivaharam, transactions in this world, we will see the differences in the gold. Suppose gold originally existed as gold. Afterwards, gold has turned into different forms and shapes, isn't it? Like the ring, the chain, the bangles, and the anklets, and so many different things from the gold we have manufactured from gold. After a long time, we have melted all that gold, all different things, and changed them back to gold again. So gold existed in the beginning, gold existed at the end. In between, it had different names and different forms. When it has taken the form of a ring, we call it as a ring. When it is in the form of a chain, we call it as a chain. And that is what is called Namarupa. Namarupa means that it takes different names and forms at different times. We see the difference in Namam and Rupam. In Namarupa Vihaya, Upanishad says like that. The different names and forms, we give these names and forms to different things, to different objects. And we start seeing them in difference, one different than the other. So that is what has happened to us also. Originally, only Chaitanyam existed, only the soul existed. Then the soul, from soul came creation. When creation happened, all these names and forms, different personalities, individuals, all have come into existence with different bodies, different colors, different languages, different, everything different. Eventually, when everyone dies at the end, it becomes the soul again, comes at the end of the devastation. We all take our pure original identity as spirit soul, and when we lose this, different names and different forms at that time. So, to give you an example, so in the Ramayanam, there are so many different characters, isn't it? So many different characters. Ravana is there, Kumbhakarna is there, Ramchandra is there, Lakshmana, Sita Devi, Hanuman, so many personalities in Ramayanam. So, in one place, in an exhibition, they have made different forms, all of gold. Which one? Ravana's form in gold, Kumbhakarna's form in gold, Vibhishana in gold, Lakshmana in gold, Ramachandra Swamiji in gold, Sita Devi in gold, everybody in gold, they made different forms and kept it in the for people to come and look at. So, lot of visitors were coming to the exhibition. When they saw Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Sita Devi, they paid their obeisances. When they saw Ravana, Kumbhakarna and all that, they didn't even look at it. They didn't want to know, he's such a demonic character. They left him like that and they walked away. In the night, when the exhibition was closed, a thief came. When the thief came, he didn't look at the form, who it is. He looked at the gold. Isn't it? So, actually he liked Ravana, because Ravana has a huge body, 10 heads, more gold in that. Same thing with, whereas Sita Devi and others, they were much smaller and less gold. So, he didn't think, he took his bag, first put Ravana into it, and then Kumbhakarna, and then others, Vibhishana and others, and Ramachandra Lakshmana, he took everything. He had no difference. Between Ravana and Ramachandra, there was no difference. As far as he is concerned, gold is important. Isn't it? As far as he is concerned, gold is important. For him, there is no difference. So, whichever one was the biggest one, he took that. Because big body. Because why? He is only looking at the gold. He is not looking at the form or the personality behind it. Whereas, those who have come and paid the obeisances, they were looking at the personality. Isn't it? They saw it is Lord Ramachandra's form. So it's Ramachandra, they accepted that in the inside and they paid their obeisances to Ramachandra, Lakshmana, Sita Devi and others. But they never paid any obeisances to Ravana, Kumbhakarna or any one of the personalities like that. Why is it like that? Because there is Ragadvesham inside us. Ragam and Dvesham inside us is causing this situation. So somebody has a... when you start looking at name and form, Ragadvesham will develop. There is nothing you can do about it. That is the nature of the in our vyavaharam, in daily activities in this world, that is known as vyavaharam. When we conduct our business in this world, transactions in this world, we will deal with name and form, and there will be ragam and dvesham, isn't it? There will be ragadvesham. But one who is seeing the adhishtanam, adhishtanam means the basis, for him there is no ragadvesham, is it? Just like you can see, the thief did not think about Ravana or Ramachandra. For him, Ravana and Ramachandra is same. As far as he is concerned, both are made of gold. So he took it that way. So he didn't feel any particular attachment or aversion to any one of the forms there. Whereas those who came there earlier, they looked at the form and accordingly from inside their ragam and dvesham came out. Ragam to Sita Devi, Ramachandra and others, and dvesham towards Ravana, Kumbhakarna and so many others like that. So this example is a famous example to prove to us that namam and rupam, name and form in this world, as long as you're relating with that, there will be ragam and dvesham. Attachment and aversion will be there. Whereas this essential stuff, when one knows what it is made of, then for such a person there is no ragadvesham inside. Similarly, Vedas are telling us that if we start realizing the Brahma's creation inside, and Brahma's presence inside, or everything, once one starts seeing it as the soul, he will not have the ragadvesham. He will not have ragadvesham within himself. If we accept this knowledge, then there will be peace inside. If we accept this knowledge, then there will be peace inside. That is why through this example, in the Bhagavatam, you will find in so many places Namarupam spoken about. Namam and Rupam will create this problem. So Namarupam has to be taken notice of. There is nothing in this world except the soul. This is the understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything in this world is nothing but the soul. From the soul has come everything else. So, in some temples, they have what is known as Darpana Mandapam. Darpana Mandapam means that there will be a special platform where there will be mirrors all over. All sides there will be mirrors. They'll come, they'll bring the deity on the festival times and keep it on that Darpana Mandapam, the mirror mandapam or mirror base, what they call it. They'll keep it there, and anyone, you can see the deity from all sides reflecting in the mirror. So just give you the view on all sides of the deity. They'll keep it on the, during the festival time and then take it away afterwards. So once it so happened, by some reason after the festival was over, that mirror was always there. All mirrors were still there. One dog walked inside to that base, and he stood there and looked everywhere. And what did he see? He saw everywhere a lot of dogs standing around him. He didn't know it was him. He didn't know anything about the mirror. He looked at all the mirrors. And as soon as he saw so many dogs, what will the dogs do normally? He starts barking straight away, isn't it? So this dog started barking, and all the other dogs also started barking from all sides. They were barking at him. He kept on barking, and they also kept on barking endlessly. After a long time barking, he never stopped. Eventually he got tired and he fell down, died. So somebody came later on and removed the dog from there. And that person who had come to clean up the place, he stood there and he also looked at himself from all sides, from different poses, how nice he looks himself. So, this is the difference between a realized soul and a conditioned soul. Realized soul will see that everything it is him, only present in everything in the form of the soul. Soul is present in everything. Ignorant person will see that everything is different. Everything is different. This is what is in the Ishopanishad says. If you look in Ishopanishads, you will see these verses there. No. If you look at Ishopanishad, there is two verses. The verse 6 and verse 7 talks about the same thing. The sixth verse is saying, Yastu sarvani bhudani atmanyem anupashyati sarva bhudeshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsade. This is the sixth mantra of the Ishopanishad. Ishopanishad is saying, Yastu sarvani bhudani atmani eva anupashyati. In all living entities, in that state, he will only see the soul, nothing else. And sarva bhudeshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsade. And same way, he sees there then that soul which is present in everyone is present within himself also. Sarvabhudeshu jalpmanam tadona vijugupsade. He who systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcel, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. In other words, here Ushamanishad is saying, Yastu sarvani bhudani atmani eva anupashyati. In all living entities, what he is seeing is the soul, nothing else. He is not seeing the external body. He is only seeing the soul. Sarvani bhudani atmani eva anupashyati. Then, sarva bhudeshu jalpmanam tadona vijugupsade. The same thing, the realization of a first-class devotee, isn't it? What does it say? Sarva bhudeshu yapashyed. Remember? That in the Hari Maharshi said this to Nimi. Sarva bhudeshu yapashyed. Bhagavad bhavam atmana. Bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. First-class devotee is quality. It's the same thing here, not different at all. Sarva bhudeshu yapashyed bhagavad bhavam atmana. In all living entities, he is only recognizing Krishna's presence there. Nothing. Bhagavad bhavam. Bhagavad bhavam means Krishna's presence in all living entities. Bhagavad bhavam atmana. Similarly, bhudani bhagavatyesha savai bhagavadottama. And all living entities are remaining in Krishna. Krishna is present in all living entities, and all living entities are remaining in Krishna. Bhudani bhagavati esha savai bhagavadottama. He is a first class devotee. Who says this? Hari Maharshi says this to Nimi. And it's the same thing here. Yastu sarvani bhudani atmani eva anupashyati. Sarva bhudeshu jalpmanam tato na vijugupsade. Krishna is here. Upanishad is saying, sarvani bhudani atmani eva anupashyati. In all living entities, there is only Atma. Atma is the only thing that is reality there in every living entity, not the body. Body is not the reality. And after saying that, in the very next verse, if you look in the Ishopanishad, in the Mantra 7, it says that Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmai bhud bijanata tatrako mohaka ka shokaha egatvam anupashyada. It says here, Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmai bhud bijanata. One who has come to that statement as spiritual path, spiritual reality or spiritual identity, one who has come to that state, Yasmin sarvani bhudani atmai vabhud vijanada, one who has known that and realized that, tatra ko mohaha ka shokaha egatvam anivashyada. For him, there is no moham or shokam or hankering or any lamentation. What it is there, egatvam anivashyada. He is only seeing the one reality of the soul in everything. One reality of the soul in everything. So these two verses from the Ishopanishad is what is being spoken here also. It comes to that. Aham evasam evagre nanyadhyan sadasatparam paschad aham yadedacha yoga shishyata sosmeham. That aham, the soul, is the only thing that is present in the beginning. And that comes into different bodies in different forms, and eventually it ends up as the same one substance, the soul. How did this separation happen for the soul? It appears to us as though it's separated, isn't it? How this separation happened? That is what Sudeva Goswami spoke in the second verse in that 10th chapter, where he says, due to the presence of Maya. Maya has done that. Maya makes us think that all of us are separate. That separation has happened to us due to the presence of, that is the power of Maya. What you think cannot be done, Maya can do that. Look at that second verse. Bahurupamivabhadi mayaya bahurupayam ramamano guneshvasya mamaham iti manyadem. Bahurupamivabhadi. This soul, how it is? It appears to us as though it's all different, isn't it? Bahurupa vivabhadi. And Maya Bahurubaya. And it is Maya who does that. Makes us think that all the souls are separate and they are different. This feeling has come to us due to the influence of Maya. Ramamano guneshvasyam mamaham iti manyateyam. And because of the presence of Maya, if you look at the second verse, due to the presence of Maya, what will happen is all these different bodies are manifested. Due to the presence, Maya created this body, isn't it? Material body is a creation of Maya, Prakriti, isn't it? Material nature has created this body. And we felt identification with this body. And then what happens? Mamaham, me and mine, has come from that. So this is how our separated existence started from spiritual reality. So so if one sees only the soul in everyone, nothing separated from the soul, then he won't have ragadvesham, would he? He would not have ragadvesham. There will be no attachment or aversion, and the mind will not create any problems. And wherever the mind goes, yatra yatra manoyadi tatra tatra samadhayaha. Even if the mind goes anywhere else, to other objects, other living, it's always in a samadhi state. Why? Because it's always conscious of the spiritual reality. The soul's present in everywhere. So, wherever he goes here, it is all Brahman. Brahman is present. Brahman means soul. Atma. All different names used. That's all in substance. It's one and the same. Soul is present everywhere. So, you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlada was in that state of realization all time. Isn't it? Prahlada was like that. All time, for him, only the soul existed. Nothing else existed. He'll always be in that state. So, this knowledge is not meditation. It's not meditation. So, through for one who is performing meditation, he cannot perform vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means transactions in this world. So, he will be, one who is meditating, he will remain in that ecstasy. He'll remain in that ecstasy. But for a jnani, it is a common thing. It's all 24 hours, it is like that. It is in that state. Everything is soul. Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu, they are sitting in the same room. They are sitting in the same room. And Hiranyakashipu is asking to Prahlada, where is Hari? Where is Hari? Prahlada is saying to him, I am seeing nothing but Hari everywhere. This is the realization. That's the difference. When Prahlada was, and Hari, when Hiranyakashipu was asking, Hiranyakashipu is a perfect example of ajnani, ignorance person. Prahlada is a perfect example of a realized soul. So, Hiranyakashipu is asking, where is Hari? Prahlada is saying, I am not seeing anything else except Hari. Everywhere, it's only Hari. He looked at the wall, there is Hari there, in the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu is saying, where is your Hari? Is he in the pillar? He says, I don't see any pillar, I only see Hari there. This was Prahlada's reply. This comes from this understanding. That nama rupa vihaya. Namam and rupam does not exist for a realized soul. For a conditioned soul, only namam and rupam exist. The soul doesn't exist. You see that situation, how it changes from self-realization to conditioned state. So, so everything is jale vishnu, stale vishnu, vishnu agasham uchade, shaira sarveshu bhudeshu, bhagavanasta ishwaraha. This was Prahlada's words. He says, Jale Vishnu, Stale Vishnu, Vishnu Ragasham Uchade. That everywhere I look, there is only Vishnu, nothing else. In water, there is Vishnu. In all the land, it is Vishnu. In the sky, there is Vishnu. Nothing else, he says to Hiranyakashipu. That is Prahlada's reply to Hiranyakashipu. Hari Sarveshu Bhudeshu. In all living entities, there is only Hari there. Bhagavan Asta Ishwaraha. Krishna is present there as Ishwara, controller of everything. Like in the Bhagavad Gita says, Ishwara sarvabhudeshu kridyeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarutani maya. So, Prahlada has realized that, so there was no problem. Therefore, when Hiranyakashipu threw him in front of the elephants to be kicked, he is only seeing Vishnu there in the elephant. When he was thrown in front of the huge snakes to be bitten, he is not seeing the snake, he is only seeing the Vishnu there, present there. Therefore, there was no fear in Prahlada's mind. Prahlada had no fear at all, any time. We wonder why, how come Prahlada managed to deal with that, isn't it? When Hiranyakashipu was doing, whereas Hiranyakashipu was seeing only the snakes, only the elephants, and only the other wild beasts, whatever he was trying to punish Prahlada with all that, Prahlada was least worried about anything. Was worried about anything. Hiranyakashipu says to him, there is only pillar there, and the wood there, and demons there, and the demigods are there. Everything different for Hiranyakashipu. when the When someone realizes that nothing exists outside Krishna, separated from Krishna, that is known as, the Upanishad says, Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. Sarvam Khalidam Brahma. And that is what Krishna is saying here. In the beginning, only I was existing. Even now, only me exists. And in the future, it will only be me who will be existing. And in all three times, in the past, present and the future, what you see is that first of all, the clay has become a pot. And the pot later on, and in the present state it is a pot, later on the pot will turn back into clay again. So, but in all the three states, there is only clay existing there. Similarly, that living force, the spirit, soul, in there, when we are experiencing all these different names and forms, nothing happens to the consciousness. Soul means consciousness. For that consciousness, nothing is affecting. It gets affected. Although from that consciousness came all these names, different names and different forms. Different names and different forms. So, therefore, we see that if this consciousness is seen in different forms, in different bodies in this world. But that is what that second verse is saying there. Hridayartham yat pratiyeda na pratiyeda chalpani tad vidyadalpano mayam yathabhaso yathatamam. In hridayartham yat pratiyeda na pratiyeda chalpani. Krishna says, actually in reality, this world does not exist. Mithya prapancham it is called. Mithya means false it is. It has no existence. But we feel it is existing. This is how it is. The world has no real existence. It has come from the soul in the middle. Originally there was only soul. In the end also there's only the soul. In between, from the soul, the world has come. And this world appears to us as though it existing. Hridayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda chalpmani. But when the soul, from the soul, when the world has come in existence or creation happened, nothing has happened to the soul. It is still complete in itself and it remains as it is. That's what he's saying here. Hridayartham yat pradiyeda. Without any, there is no truth behind this world. It has no truthful reality, in other words. It has no truthful existence. It exists. It manifests in front of us in all the form, different forms. The mountains, the rivers, the sky, the ocean, all these kind of things. It exists in front of us, but it has no reality. Why? Because it has come from the soul, like a Namarupam has come. And it will, when the Namam and Rupam it loses, you know at the end of creation what happens. One merges into another, and eventually everything goes back to the source where it came from. So that is why creation is spoken, to tell us that it's only in between it has some reality. This creation has some reality. In the soul, all these things don't exist. Soul is untouched by all that still. Although it has all come from the soul, soul is untouched by all these changes. Na pradiyata chalpmani. Hridayartham yat pradiyata na pradiyata chalpmani. That's what that means. Hridayartham means it's false. It's a lie what has come about. Hridayartham, it gives you a feeling that it exists temporarily. But we don't know that. We think it's permanent, isn't it? Hridayartham, that is why it's called Hridayartham. Hridayartham means it's actually a false thing. And you experience, although you are experiencing that, it's a false thing. And then it says, na pradiyeda chalpmani. It doesn't exist in the soul. It has not affected the soul at all. That is the way the creation is. Hridayartham yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda chalpmani. Tad vidyada atmano mayam. And this transformation, whose power is that? Power of Maya. Maya's strength is what Bhagavatam is talking about. How Maya can do such thing. Yathabhasam yathatama. That nothing, you see, this is a very interesting thing actually, if you study these things seriously. That when you go into deep sleep state, sushuptau ubalabhyadam, we say, world exists. Everyone says that, isn't it? When you go into deep sleep, does the world exist? Where is the world then? If something is real in this, it should exist in all times. Otherwise, it's not real, isn't it? But we don't think like that. We think world is existing. When we go to deep sleep also, we think the world is there. I kept it there and I come back, it will be all be there in the same way. That's how our opinion about that, isn't it? Sushruptau upalabhyatam. And so it says, Sushruptau upalabhyatam. We keep saying that world exists, world exists. In your deep sleep, does the world exist? So, if this world is a reality, when you go into deep sleep also, you should be aware of the world. But it's not happening. So, in the dream state also, it doesn't exist. And the mind, which is in the dream state, doesn't exist in the deep sleep. So, none of them are actually any reality. Neither the mind, nor this world, nor this body, none of them are any reality. Because when you go into deep sleep, this body also doesn't exist. You're not aware of the existence of the body even, isn't it? You go somewhere, body is lying there. Somehow or the other, we think that we'll come back to this body again. We think. And that with full faith, we go to sleep in the night. Then in the morning, when I get up, the body will be there. But we are not aware of any of these things. Why it is spoken like that is, that to get this clarity of the truth, we have some misconceptions in our head about truth. We think truth is what we see with the eye. We take that as the truth, isn't it? We know that much about our eyes, how much you can trust these eyes, and how much you can trust your mind. But the reality is that when from the Shastram is telling us that when you go into the deep sleep state, there is no world, there is no body either. And you are giving so much reality to all these things, to this body. This is why body is not real. In the Shastram, they clearly say this body is not a real thing. You say this to somebody, they will beat you up, isn't it? If you tell someone that the body is not real, okay, the body is not real, I'll give you a good smack, but you take it. If it's not real, why you bother? This is how people argue about it, if you say this to them. The reality is, actually, because we are not self-realized, we feel the pain. Who feels the pain? The false ego feels the pain, not the soul. The false ego inside is what who feels the pain, who feels the torture, everything. So, taking into account all these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, taking into account all these states, you keep them in consideration, only then you have to make the decision what is the reality, what the truth is. In all circumstances, what does not change, that is the truth. In all circumstances. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in all the three states it should exist. What we see this world, only keeping Jagrat as the reality, isn't it? Keeping Jagrat, vacant state, as the only reality, keeping that state alone, we are saying that this world is real, real, real. We keep saying this world is real. Only taking into account the vacant state, nothing else. So, what does world means? Basically, from the Shastram, if you look at the world means only five things. What's that? Seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. The five things. That's the world. Nothing more than that from the Shastram side. We give a lot of importance to this world, thinking that so many things are happening in this world. We are engaged in some, due to our modes of nature, we are doing hundreds and thousands of things here. So we give a lot of reality to this world. But from the Shastram point of view, there is no reality to this world except that these five things are active. That's all. Which one? The five senses of knowledge. They are action. They are in action. Therefore, that's what it is called the world. So, the funny thing is, we have got five senses. Some other living entities have got only three senses. They don't have all the five. Some of them got only one sense. And they live for a very short time. Now, whose world is real? Is it my world real or that living entity's world is real? It's the same world we are talking about. But I experience this world in one way through my five senses. Another living entity, which has got only three senses, that living entity is experiencing this world in its way. So, for that living entity, its world is real. For me, this world is real. And now, suppose some another living entity comes which had more senses than us. Than five senses. For him, there is another world. So, which is real? This is Shastram. Shastram makes us understand that all our misconceptions which we have created in our Jagrat state, vacant state, is all false. Completely false. That's what it is saying here. Then the world, what the living entity has got three senses. We are not seeing that world. That world we are not seeing. We are seeing the world. For example, the plants have got life, isn't it? Plants have got life. And the plants have its own world. It lives its own world. And that's not our world. So, so if you think like that, from amoeba, the lowest worm, to right up to the elephant, different grades of animals. Different grades. They are not all same, are they? They are all different. They are all different. So, single cell worms, or they are there, isn't it? They have only one cell. And we have got millions of cells in this body. In this body also. And some of them have got only one sense. And that is their body also is like that. Body is also like that. And the world what they see is not the same world what we see. For example, a worm, what you see sometimes in the garbage, it develops after a period of time, isn't it? Some worms comes there. And that worm is experiencing one world here. And its worm is not the world of ours. Our world is motor cars, highways, multi-story buildings, and trains, aeroplanes, airports, all this. This is our world. But that worm which is lying in the garbage, it is not aware of all this world, what we are experiencing. So world is different for every living entity. Its world is different. So according to the senses, the world changes. Isn't it? According to our senses, the world changes. In the dream state, we see so many things. I'm sleeping in the room and suddenly I get a dream that I'm speaking here and suddenly I see all of you in my dream. In my dream, I'm seeing everybody. I see the mic, I see the table, I see the books, I see Center Point Community Center, whatever this is, and all the people around all sitting there. So, what happens is, I create all that within me, isn't it? I sit there in all your forms. That's what happens. I will be sitting in my dream, suppose if I see all of you there, I have to take your form and sit there, and I'll be seeing that in your form. Swapnam is a beautiful thing to think about, isn't it? So all of you here, I'll see you all in my dreams, sitting there, and I'll see this mic, I'll see the book, table, everything. So, and I will sit there and watch me speaking and you are hearing all that. I'll sit and watch that also in the dream. So, is it not an amazing thing, this Swapnam, dream state? Is it not a very amazing thing that you can do this, not deliberately, it can happen, I'm saying, that if you go into dream state, that this whole thing manifests like that. Why dream state? This is where the question comes. Why is this dream state? To tell us very clearly the secret of creation. This is how creation has happened. Only difference what we are seeing here is that we have somehow given importance to vacant state and saying that everything in the vacant state is real. This is very deep rooted inside us. We are always thinking vacant state is the only real thing. We kept on thinking like that, and it has become a part of us now. That vacant state is the only reality, nothing else is reality. That is the biggest mistake. Because of that, we have, without any knowledge, we didn't have any knowledge, without any knowledge, we have ourselves decided, each one of us, vacant state is the reality, dream state has no meaning, Sushupti, I'm not bothered, I had a good sleep. That's all I want to know. So this is how we have understood Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. Shastram is telling us in a completely different level. Shastram is telling us that in Swapnam state is meant to teach you how creation happens. That means in Swapnam you create everything. Similarly, this experience of this world also is a creation like that. It has no reality. From the truth, When you look at it from the point of view, from the position of the truth, absolute truth platform, this world has no reality. Because it has come from consciousness, it exists for some time, eventually it disappears. So it is not a reality. It's not a truth either. That is what it is saying here. Hridayartham yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chalpani tadvidyadatmanomayam yathabhasam yathatamam. That second verse. First of all, he said, Ahameva Samevagre. Krishna spoke about his existence, his reality. He is the only reality, he said. And then he says, all that what you are seeing there, apart from that, is not a reality because it is hridam. Hridam means it's a lie, it's a false thing. Hridayartham yat pratiyeta, na pratiyeta chalpmani. And although it is, you appear as though it exists to you, although he takes it as a reality, na pratiyeta chalpmani. In the soul, it has no influence or in fact impact on the bodham or consciousness or the soul on it. So, kṛtayartham yat pratiyeta. So, if there is no truth in that, how come we see the dream? In the dream, all of them are appearing. So, just like in the dream it is happening, it appears to us. Similarly, this world also appears in front of us in the same way. That's all the reality. None of them is reality. That is what the Bhagavad Gita is telling us. None of them is reality. It is not the real thing. Just like if you watch the cinema on the screen, you're watching the cinema screen. So, if you go to the cinema and you touch the screen, you won't be able to touch the hero or the heroine, isn't it? They're there, but you can't touch them. They're not there. They are there, but they're not there, isn't it? When you go and touch them, they're not there. So, in the same way, if you really look at it, actually what is present here is only consciousness. What is present in all these things is only the consciousness. That is the important point. There's only consciousness that exists. So, nothing separated from... Na pradiyeda chalpmani. So, one who has inquired about the soul and one who has found out the soul, what the soul is, for them the world doesn't exist. For them the world doesn't exist. When you come to the world of senses, the world exists. When you come to the world of senses, the world exists. In other words, only because we have the senses, the world is existing. Yeah? Only because we have the senses, the world is existing. If you have no senses, the world doesn't exist. In other words, in Veda, the importance is who is seeing, not what you are seeing, is given the importance. Who is seeing? That is what we should think about. Not what you are seeing. You are seeing this world and we give importance to the world what we see, isn't it? From Vedic point of view, importance is not what you see, but who is seeing. That's where you should think about. The person who is seeing it. And that time you'll come to the conclusion, it is a soul that is actually, from soul everything has come. But the person, all this seeing happening, why? Because soul is present inside. Otherwise you can't see. Just because I have the light, I can't see. Just because I have the eyes, I can't see. Just because I have the mind, I can't see. The soul behind everything, who gives the experience in the mind, by the presence of the eyes as well as the light, it is he who is seeing. The soul who is present inside, it is he who is seeing. So, when you give attention to consciousness, consciousness means the soul, world doesn't exist, only consciousness exists. If it is like that, how did this world come into existence in the soul, in the consciousness? And that is what Krishna is saying there, Atmano Mayam Vidhi. It says there, isn't it? Atmano Mayam Vidhi. Tad Vidyad Atmano Mayam. Tad Vidya Atmano Mayam. This is what is called Maya. This is what's called Maya. See how Maya works. We cannot ever understand Maya. We can never understand Maya. It's an absolutely amazing power. This thing called Maya. What does that do? What does that Maya do? what does not exist, it makes us feel it exists. What does not exist, it makes us feel that it does exist. Just like they give this example in Vedantam, the example is the snake and the rope. Snake and the rope example. You saw in the rope the snake. When you go close by and look at it, there is no snake, there is only rope. There is only rope. Similarly, the ghost and the post. These are standard examples in the Bhagavatam also. Ghost and the post. You went in the night one day, there was a little bit of moonshine or moonlight. You were walking through a country road where there was nobody there, and there was a post there somewhere, electric post or whatever it is, some post. You were not aware of that before walking, and it was painted white, unfortunately. So when you were walking on that road, you saw that post. Suddenly in your mind, you thought it must be a ghost standing there. And you got frightened, just like you got frightened by seeing the rope and the snake, isn't it? Same way, you got frightened seeing that post. And then you went back, fully frightened. And you went and told someone that there is a ghost there. Only a few days ago, somebody died, an accidental death. So people started saying, it must be that person who died has become a ghost now, and he's standing there like that. So, so in the wind, some plastic bag came and stuck on that post. So, next day when you went, the ghost has got its hands there ready because of the plastic bag, which was a white plastic bag. So, he felt that there is a post, it is definitely a ghost. You have concluded that, confirmed everything within your mind. So, so it was then you kept on looking at the post with fear all the time. Then what happened? You took a stone, a big stone, and you throw it at the post. It didn't hit the post, it went this way, that way, never hit the post. And you threw many stones at the post. Suddenly, one stone went and hit the post. When it hit the post, it created the big sound from that. At that time, I realized, oh, now I remember there was a post there before it hit the post. I realized that, isn't it? So, till that hits the post, till we will have this Maya Prabhancham, Maya's world exists for us. So, there are so many stories like that. And you can see this always happens in like in similarly this world also. Till we, Maya is like that. Till we keep on inquiring this, we will think that it is reality, it is reality. We'll always think like that, it is reality. Actually, this one thing is what has created different philosophies also, if you look at it. Dvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Advaitam and all has come in this way. That someone who is considering this world as fully real for him is in that state. His mind is in that state. For him, Dvaitam, everything is truth and everything is reality for him. So it changes according to... The question is, one who thinks that this world exists, here for him it is a reality, he should ask the question, who is experiencing that? Who is experiencing that? And then you will see, I am experiencing that, then who am I? That question will naturally come. You can't inquire in the world to find out the truth. You have to inquire about the person who is seeing the world. That is the principle behind it. If you keep inquiring, like the scientists are inquiring in the world, isn't it? Where is the truth? Where is the truth? They will never find it because it's not possible. On the other hand, if they turn their attention to the person who is seeing the world, then he will know what the world is. Then he will know where the world has come from. So, for example, as far as this mic is concerned, for the mic, the world doesn't exist. For the mic, the world doesn't exist. So, it also doesn't have experience that he exists. That awareness is not there, isn't it? For me, I have the experience, awareness is there, I am my existence, isn't it? So, one who is seeing this experience of the existence of this world, what does that mean? You can see that if you take that into your own personal level, you can see in Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in these three states, so many things we are experiencing all the time. In experience, in some state, the world doesn't exist, the body doesn't exist either. And practically what exists in all states is the soul, is the soul alone. Nitya, Shuddha, Buddha, Mukta, Swarupam. That means always eternal, always pure, always conscious and always liberated, as Krishna says. This is our Swarupam. That is what... Then, in other words, in experience, in reality, there is only that existing. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That completeness, Amrutvam, immortality, that is the nature. Because when you say that I am aware of my existence, that never leaves you, isn't it? Wherever you go, in whichever situation you are, even parts of your body taken away, still you are conscious of your awareness of your existence. That is the only thing that exists. That is what it says here, yathābhāsam yathātama. So, in the desert, some places, it appears as though water exists there, isn't it? Marumarīchika they call it, mirage, isn't it? Marumarīchika. So, what it says here is that, yathātamaha, apradīyeda chalpmani. So, if there is a slight darkness, you will experience the snake in the rope, because that's when it happened. When there is plenty of light, you will see the rope. When it's plenty of darkness, you won't see neither rope nor the snake. It is only when the light is a little bit light, when it's not clear enough that you can see it very clearly, that the snake exists at that time, isn't it? So, if it is extreme darkness, very thick dark it is, then you won't even see the rope. Similarly, yatha abhaso yatha tama. That is what he's saying here. Uchav yatha abhaso yatha tama. That means, yatha abhaso yatha tama. According to the power of Maya, you will know it. Whether it is reality or not. Maya plays this game with us all the time. So, then it says, Hridhyartham yat pradiyyada nat pradiyyada chalpmani. And tadvidyad almano mayam yadha bhaso yadha tama. Hridhyartham yat pradiyyada. It's all lie. Everything is lie. But nat pradiyyada chalpmani. And in the soul, it has nothing to do with the soul either. Although it has come from the soul, soul is independent from everything. And tadvidyad almano mayam yadha bhaso yadha tama. Yathābhāso yathātama. So, after saying that, next verse he says, Yathā mahānti bhūdāni bhūdeshu ucchāvajeshvanu pravishtāni apravishtāni tathā teshu na teshvaham. These are all verses which require a lot of contemplation on that. Because this is just Vedāntam, what Krishna is saying to Brahmā. That the... We are conditioned way thinking one way. We are trained to think in a particular way, isn't it? And we are supposed to be in avidya. In ignorance we are seeing things, everything. We don't see the truth. We only see the wrong side of it. So, pravishtani, apravishtani. So, what does it mean? Uchavajeshu, bhudani uchavajeshu, pravishtani, apravishtani, tatha. So, five material elements, they are present all over. What does this world? Five material elements, isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether and fire. If you ask, it's all mixed up, isn't it? And at the same time, what's interesting here is, you can see earth, water, air, ether, fire in this world in its pure form. Water exists, air exists. Everything you can't see, but with your five senses you can know. About these five elements, isn't it? With your five senses, you can know that. For example, you can see the existence of earth with the eyes. Water with the eyes. Air you can't see with the eyes, but you have, with your sense of touch you have to know that air exists. So all the material elements, you can experience through your five senses. One thing. On the other hand, all these five material elements also in the mixed up form they exist here. It exists in its pure form, it exists here in the mixed form also. For example, if you take the buildings here, these are material elements but mixed up in a particular way. They also exist, isn't it? So it exists in its pure form, it exists in its mixed form also in this world. So because it is, so therefore you have to say like this, that pravishtani apravishtani, he says. When material elements came from the soul, because of the soul's presence, it has come in its pure form. So he says here, yada mahandi bhudani bhudeshu uchavacheshvanu pravishtani apravishtani apravishtani tathateshu na teshuham. Tathateshu na teshuham. These five material elements, see, you see them in all creation, in all objects in this creation, you see them. And because they have entered into them directly and indirectly, which means that in some places it has come in its pure form, in some places in a mixed form, it has come into this world, isn't it? And that is what it says, pravishtani, apravishtani. And similarly, and so therefore you cannot say that only material elements exist, because material elements gets mixed also, and it exists in different objects in this world. So it says here, that the, because they exist like that, you have to say material elements have entered into this world, and at the same time material elements are also staying independently. In the creation, if you look, material elements are present in everything, but they have entered into different things and created a different form, but they also simultaneously exist independently in the creation, isn't it? Also exist independently. So similarly, although this creation has come from Brahman, Krishna's another aspect is Brahman, isn't it? Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavandi Shabdade. So Brahman creation has happened, but because of that, the purity of Brahman is not affected, or perfection of Brahman is not affected. That is why this example is given. From completeness, Brahman, Prabhanjam, the material creation has come. Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnamidam. And can you say it is complete? Purnam in the sense that the screen which you are looking at, that the screen exists, but at the same time, all the cinema, what you are seeing on the screen, all the personalities who are appearing on the screen, the reality behind is screen. Screen is the reality. If the screen is not there, those personalities don't come. Isn't it? So similarly, if Brahman is present behind, and from Brahman all the creation has come, and we observe the creation, but this creation has only some reality if Brahman is behind it. Brahman is behind it. Similarly, the astitvam, reality behind all the things what we live in, different names and forms what you see in this world, the reality behind is that bodham. Bodham means atma or the soul. Therefore, one who has known the soul, he will know that everything is nothing but the soul. That is what Krishna says here. Na pradiyeda chalpmani. Na pradiyeda chalpmani. How do we understand? Edaval deva jityasam tattva jityasunalpana anvayam vidireka abhyam yatsyal sarvatra sarvadam. That is the next verse. He says, Edaval deva jityasam tattva jityasunalpana. How to understand this? Say, here Krishna is saying there, very important thing, that tattva jityasunalpana, tattva jityasa is necessary. This is how we have to understand. This is for the jnani. It is all for the jnani. You have to remember that. It is jnanam that is spoken. In Chalishlogi Bhagavatam, it is jnanam. From the very beginning, Krishna says that, isn't it? Jnanam paramaguhyam me yad vijnana samanyidam. He says, jnanam, the knowledge, proper knowledge, the truth. That's what it is. So when it is spoken, Krishna is saying here the Tattva Jitnyasana Atmana. One who wants to understand the Tattvam, one who wants to understand the Tattvam, Tattva Jitnyasana Atmana, he should follow this process known as Anvaya Vidrekam. That is a process. Anvayam and Vidrekam. This is an important thing in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You will find in hundreds of places mentioned about this Anvaya Vidrekam. First verse you take, Janmadhyasya Yado Anvaya Itaratas. There itself, Anvaya Vidrekam. It started with that. Anvaya Vidrekam is the way to understand the truth. And through Anvayam and Vidrekam, Prabhupada has translated this directly and indirectly. I suppose that's the best you can put it in English. But through example, it's easier to understand that what Anvaya Vidrekam is. So, Anvaya Vidrekam is the way Shastram teaches how to see the truth. And seeing that truth, one should have it is called Tattva Jijnyasa. Tattva Jijnyasa Atmana. Krishna says in the last verse, 35, Edaval Deva Jijnyasyam. One who has got Jijnyasa or inquisitiveness for that, Tattva Jijnyasana Atmana. He should develop Tattva Jijnyasa. Anvaya Vidrekabhyam Yatsyal Sarvatra Sarvada. Through Anvayam and Vidrekam, he should know Yatsyal Sarvatra Sarvada. All time, there is only one thing existing, nothing but the soul. This is the important message. Anvaya Vidrekabhyam Yatsyal Sarvatra Sarvada. In that realization of Tattva Jnanam, through this process of knowledge, is called Samadhi. Is called Samadhi. In Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi says this to Ramachandra. For Jnani, their Samadhi is Tattva Jnanam. For Yogis, their Samadhi is from through Ashtanga Yogam. They reach Samadhi state, isn't it? For Jnani, it is not like that. For Jnani, it is through Tattva Jnanam. They study Tattvam very well and they come to realize that. Therefore, not that the mind will stay as a jadam, that thing, but on the other hand, tatvatma bodhayen viva, sarva bhashal trana pavagaha, prokta samadhi shabdhena, adu tushnim avastidihi. Not sitting simply as a dead stone, that is not samadhi for them. For the jnani, it's not just sitting like a dead stone. What happens is through tatvajnanam, that means he has thought about this in depth. Through this process of Tattva Jijnyasa, Tattva Jnanam, and eventually he got the clarity of the truth within himself, what the reality is. Yeah? He got fixed upon that. And that is his state of the Jnani. And it is what is known as, that is known as Samadhi, Nirvigalpa Bodham, they call it. There is no more Vigalpam, Nirvigalpa Bodham, pure consciousness in other words. Not Nirvigalpa Yogam. Nirvigalpa Yogam is for the yogis. They have no Vigalpam. They control through Ashtanga Yoga process, they control and get to that state. That is called Nirvigalpa Yogam. For Jnani, it is Nirvigalpa Bodham, consciousness all the time. Yogam will come and go, whereas Bodham will not come and go. That is the difference between the yogi and the Jnani. Nirvigalpa Yogam, Yogam can come and go. It may not stay in that. But Bodham will stay. Bodham will stay. How to do that? Krishna says here, in solitude one should, that's what he says here. That edavadeva jitnyasyam tattva jitnyasuna atmana anvayam vidrekabhyam yatsyal sarvatra sarvadam. One who has to know the truth, he only has to know this reality, anvayam vidrekabhyam. How do anvayam vidrekabhyam? That's what he's saying. In vacant state, anvayam means, in vacant state, body is there, mind is there, I am there. Isn't it? We have talked so many times the same thing. In the vacant state, the body is there, the mind is there, I am there. In the dream state, body is not there, mind is there, I am there. In the deep sleep, the body is not there, the mind is not there, I am there. Isn't it? So, in the deep sleep state, when neither the mind nor body, neither the body nor the mind exist, I am there. That is called Vidrekam. Think about this. In the vacant state, I am there. Body is there. I mean, body is there. Mind is there. I am there. When I say I am there, the soul is there. In the dream state, body has gone. Mind is there. I am there. In the deep sleep, body has gone. Mind has gone. I am there. So, this understanding is Advaita. In the deep sleep, when none of them are existing, I am there. That's Vedirekam. Did you get that? Eh? How you separate it out, the soul from everything else, that is Anvaya Vedirekam. How to separate the soul out from the what it is not the truth. From Asat, how you separate the Sat, that is Vedirekam. So everything you have to see it like this, Anvayam and Vedirekam. And this example is used in so many different places. Some other time we will take it out from Bhagavadam and talk about that. Anivedregam, how it works in so many different situations. This is the way Srimad Bhagavatam and many Vedantam texts will talk about the truth through Anvayam and Vedregam. That's why in the first verse itself, Janmadeseto Anvaya Itaratas, Anvaya Vedregam, started there itself. Through Anivedregam only you can understand the truth. That is the conclusion of the Shastram. Only through Anivedregam. So I am there, the mind is there, the body is there. In the vacant state, in the dream state, body is not there, mind is there, I am there. In the deep sleep, body is not there, mind is not there, I am there. So the statement that is Anvayam. But in the deep sleep, I exist, that is Vedirekam. Do you get that? What I am saying, the fineness of it, the thought behind it. That I am existing in the deep sleep, that's a separate thing, because I am existing there. Who is existing? Not the false ego. The soul existing. Whereas, in the vacant state, who is existing? I am existing in the form of false ego. Yeah? When you get time, sit down and quietly think about it. Then you will understand Anvaya Vedirekam. Anvaya Vedirekam is an important thing in the Bhagavatam. That if you understand that, Krishna is saying here, through Anvaya Vedirekam, you should study the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. Only then you will enjoy Bhagavatam through Anvaya Vedirekam. Anvaya Vedirekam is, and that is what Prabhupada calls it as directly and indirectly. In that translation you will see there, isn't it? What did he say? Yeah. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Directly and indirectly is the best thing you can put it in English, I think. That's all you can do. But what can you say? It is Anvaya Vedirekam, it is. So, you may get boring all these things, isn't it? When you hear all these things, it's too much. Don't worry about it. Because, as I said in the beginning, just hear it. If nothing happens, we have got Bhakti Yoga for our shelter. There's nothing to worry. This is process of the jnani. Those who want to follow that, let them follow. For us, holy name is there. And Krishna's beautiful form is there, and also so many things Krishna has given us. For those of us like us who haven't got that capacity to understand these things properly and to analyze it. So this is a process of the jnani, Anvaya Vedirekam and all that. But generally all the devotees also try to understand that. What it is if you don't understand it, don't worry about it. One day we say to Krishna that nothing is working for me. I cannot understand what you are saying in the Bhagavatam. Please do whatever you want with me. I have no shelter except you. If you take that attitude, one day Krishna will make us understand all these things. What happens to the jnani is, he will understand all these things first, and then he will surrender to Krishna. After knowing this, knowing Krishna's glory is in this way. For a devotee, he first surrenders and then he comes to know about it. That's all the differences. One way or the other, we'll all come to know. Because it is a reality that not many people are going to realize all these things through Anvayam Vedirekam in this world. Hardly there will be very, very few people who are extremely serious and studying Shastram so in depth and who have got that mood of Jnanam, Jnanamargam. They will only go in that direction. That's why we will read that purport from Prabhupada. Prabhupada has kept it as much on a devotee's level, everything. as much as possible. So a devotee, how one should see these things. So we'll come to that later. So here, Vedriyagam. So gold, when it is bangles and chain, and in all that situations, it is still gold. That is Anvayam. But when it has come in the form of chain or bangles or anklets or whatever, ring or whatever it is, in all that states, when it is situated like that, it is still gold, isn't it? That is Anvayam. So, but Swarnam or the gold is not chain, not the ring, saying like that is Vedrekam. You may think it is just word jugglery. It's not word jugglery. It's just the way they present it to us. That so if you understand that difference, you understood Anvaya Vedrekam. Anvaya Vedrekam means that so gold exists. Gold exists in different forms, isn't it? Like the chain, like the bangle, like the ring, like the anklets, everything. It's all gold. It's all gold. So that is Anvayam. But when you see these things, the ring, the chain, and other things, if you're still able to think that that's not ring, that's not chain, it's gold, that is Vedrekam. The other way. Yeah? Its essential stuff is gold, that is Vedrekam. So in order to know something, denying something is called Vedrekam. Yeah? Denying something is Vedrekam. Krishna says one should sit in solitude and break up this body. Mind, body, intelligence, false ego, senses. None of them is me. None of them is me. And after rejecting all that, something which you cannot reject or you cannot take it, which still exists, and that is consciousness. Which you cannot reject, can you? Because it's always existing. Everything else you can reject. So, when you start rejecting everything else, this one should do in solitude. One should do it in solitude. And we sit like that and completely dependent on the bodham, that chit shakti inside, chitta. So, when once you realize that that is your pure identity and recognizing that, it's also, Shastram calls it as Pratyabhijna, Bhotam Asmi. And that is called Samadhi here. Samadhina Anusmaraha. In solitude, one should do that. If you look into the chapter before, 9th chapter, you will see. In the same chapter, verse 36. Yeah. So, you see the next verse itself. Krishna is saying to Brahma, Edan madam samadhishta paramena samadhina bhavan kalpa vikalpeshu na vimuhyadi karhichit. The next verse, after the four verses, after the four Chadushlogi Bhagavadam, four verses, the next verse it says, Edan madam samadhishta paramena samadhina. Isn't it? Bhavan kalpa vikalpeshu na vimuhyadi karhichit. That focus your mind and take my instruction seriously. If you do like that, even if you engage in creation process in so many kalpam, you will not be affected by that. You will not be influenced by that. He says like that there. So, in other words, what Krishna is saying to Brahma is what he spoke in Hamsagidam. Hamsagidam, he told us, isn't it? Drishtim dada prada nivarta nivarta tishna tushnim bhave nijasukha anibhavo niriha. If you remember in the chapter 13, Krishna says to nijasukha anibhavo niriha. In other words, samadhi or that state of experience, Krishna spoke. That state is what Krishna is talking about. That state of experience. That drishtim dada prada nivarta nivarta tishna tushnim bhave nijasukha anibhavo niriha. In other words, take your attention away from the body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, and stay in that state, nija sukha anubhavo niriha, and observe yourself at that state, what's happening to you. So that is a state of samadhi, and that is in Ekadasha Skandam Krishna spoke like that. Here Krishna is saying to Brahma, if you practice this, then what will happen is drishtim tada pradinivrti nurta Krishna. Drishtim tada pradinivrti. Take your attention away from the world outside, what's been created. That's what Krishna is saying to Brahma. Take your attention away from the world that's been created and take it inwards, inward looking. And keep on looking inwards all the time, you'll come to the state that chidagasham, that they'll come to your pure existence of consciousness. You'll come to that. Na kinchid abhi chindayet. Then don't think anything after that. Na kinchid abhi chindayet. After that, nothing to think about. At least for a short time, if you can stay like that, that I'm not this body. Not saying with the tongue, but in our own realization, I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this ego, I'm not this senses, none of them I am. And if you keep on separating it, and suddenly one day it will click that you are not this for a short period of time. If that happens, that Vichurna jaham nija bhodharupam, I am pure consciousness. Like Hastamalika said, isn't it? Vichurna jaham nija bhodharupam. What did he say? Naham manishyo naja. It says like that. Daham manishyo. Naham manishyo naja deva yakshav. Na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra. Na brahmajari na grahi vanasto. Vichurna jaham nija bhodharupa. This is what Hastamalika said. You have to see, at that time, Varnashrama Dharma was very present all over, isn't it? So therefore, they spoke in that language. Naham manishu, I am not a human being. Naja deva yaksha, I am not a demigod or a yaksha. Na brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra. Neither I am any of the four varnam. Na brahmajari na grihi vanastho bichur na. I am not a brahmajari, grastham, vanaprastham, sannyasam. What am I? Nija bodharupam. I am pure consciousness. So if we can reach that state at least once, sometimes if it happens, so nija bodharupam, and one should practice that. That is what Krishna is saying here, that edan madam samadhishta paramena samadhina bhavan kalpavigalpeshu na vimukhiti karhichel. So being situated on the platform of the soul, if you create, Krishna is saying to Brahma, you will never be disturbed by the creation. If you read Bhagavatam, you will see there, if you are on the platform of spirit soul, always in identification, that situated in that state of realization of the soul, if you create, nothing will happen. Because Brahma got a fear. If you look into the verses before, Brahma says to Krishna, Brahma mentioned this to Krishna. How did he say to him? He told Krishna like this, I have a little fear that if I create, what will happen to me? What will happen to me? He asked this question. And when he said that, he says to him that, will that not cause problems to me? Brahma asked this question. Will that not cause problems to me if I start this creation? So in answer to that, Krishna is saying there, That I think it is in the same chapter in the beginning. That is why in answer to that Krishna has spoken this. You see that verse 28 in the same chapter. Which chapter is that? That's the ninth chapter. Ninth chapter, verse 28. Brahma Vacha. Remember? Brahma asked this question. Verse 20. Brahma says to him that, okay, let's look at verse 26, 27. Yathatmamaya yogena nana shakti pabramhidam vilumban visajan grihan vibradatmanam almanam. That just like the spider creates its net and it plays with the net, isn't it? Moves from the center to different places, comes back, goes and comes back all over the net. Brahma says to Krishna, you have created this whole creation. And in that creation, you are playing this game with everyone. Going here, going there, doing this, doing that. So many different things here. So, but the only reality in all these things is you. Only Krishna, nothing else. And similarly, how you are doing this, that knowledge give that to me. When I have to start the creation. This is what Brahma asked in that verse, in the 26th verse. And kridasya mokha sangalpam urna abhir yathornate tada tadvishayam dehi manisham mai madhava. He says to Krishna, Krishna, it is like this. Kridasya mokha sangalpam urna abhir yathornate. Urnanabhi means spider. Spider creates and it plays with the its net. How it plays with the net? Similarly, tadata dvishayam dehi manisha mai madhava. That intelligence gives it to me. But spider never gets caught up in the net, isn't it? Other insects come and gets caught in the net. Spider doesn't gets caught up in the net. So Brahma is saying, I want to create, but you give me that knowledge how the spider does it. How it creates a net, spider's web, you know, famous. There's a hotel there in the A41. Spider's web. It used to be spider's web. It's changed now, the name. Ramada, I think, now. So that spider's web, spider creates a spider's web and plays with the web. It doesn't get caught in the web, isn't it? But all the other flies, insects, they get caught in the web. Spider goes and catches, swallows it. And spider plays the game all the time. Brahma is saying to Krishna, this is Brahma's fear. You see how careful we have to be before we start creation in this world. This is all indicating to that. It's not creation, I'll get married and a big bash everywhere and I got married, you know, the whole world should know. Without knowing all these things, if you get into creation, Krishna says you will get into trouble at the end. This is a warning there, very stark warning is involved in that. That's why Krishna is saying to us. What Krishna is saying to Brahma is Krishna is saying to us also. We are many Brahmas in that sense, isn't it? So here, what he's saying here is kridasya mokha sangalpam urna nabhir yatho ornade tadata dvishayam dehi manisham mayim adhava. Krishna is saying to address to Krishna, he says to him, how did you give this knowledge to Urnanabhi? Urnanabhi means a spider. How to do creation like this? Without getting caught in anything, able to do it, continuously do it. So, if you give that to me, then I'll give up my laziness, Brahma is saying to Krishna, and I will follow your instructions. If I get this mercy or this knowledge by your mercy, then even if I create, let me not get bound by that, he said. Brahma had this great fear that he is going to get bound. Because that's what happens to all of us, isn't it? We got involved in this world, got caught up in family life, and now we don't know what to do. Everybody is feeling it, but don't know what to do. Husband is feeling, wife is feeling, children are all feeling. Everyone is feeling the situation. It's like that. So, therefore, Krishna is saying, that is why this Chalishlogi Bhagavadam is important, for this reason, that many in the olden days, when they taught Srimad Bhagavatam, before they enter householder life, especially among the Brahmana community, they will tell them, take Srimad Bhagavatam and go into householder life, you won't suffer. If not, it will be misery from beginning to end. So, just a warning, take Srimad Bhagavatam in the hand, because if this knowledge is sound, steady, well established inside, there is no need to fear about anything. It'll cap that, like the spider situation will be. So Brahma has asked that question. Brahma knew this very well. And even after knowing all these things, Brahma got into trouble. You know that, don't you? Brahma got into trouble later. Later on you will see, this happened in one kalpam. Brahma forgot all this in the next kalpam. All this what he learned. And second time, he stopped creation again. This happened in another kalpam. Brahma's long lifespan, you have to look at that. And then this kalpam, this happened. The kalpam where we are now living. Brahma is 51 year old. He is waiting for his pension when he can retire from this. So Brahma says to Krishna at the beginning of this kalpam, I'm stopping creation. Krishna says, why? He says, all my children, we are all his children, isn't it? Brahma's children. All my children are complaining about me. Why have you created us like this? We are asking. When we suffer, first thing, what do? What has he written here on our head? We say like that, isn't it? Why has he sent, what has he written on my forehead? Why do I have to go through this misery like this? So everyone has complained against Brahma. A stage came, it's like a temple president's job. Everybody will complain against him. And the poor man has to carry on doing it, what he has to do. Everywhere it's like that. So this is Brahma's situation. So ultimately Brahma decided, let me stop the creation. So Brahma says to Krishna, I'm not going to create anymore. Krishna asked him, I instructed you Chalishlogi Bhagavatam before, have you forgotten all that? Brahma says, Chalishlogi or no Chalishlogi, I had enough of it. Because he was so fed up of the creation process. So ultimately he says to Krishna, I'm going to stop creation. So Krishna asked him, what do you want now? He says, those ones who are suffering there, they are my children, aren't they? Krishna says, yes, they are your children because you have created them. They are your children. So when they are suffering like this, will that not affect me? Yes, it will affect you. There's no question about that. Krishna says, it will affect you. You cannot escape out of that. All these things Krishna is saying, yes, yes, you have to suffer, you have to suffer. So Brahma says, then why should I create then? Why should I continue this business if it is going to be like this? Constantly they all are blaming. Not only us, including gopis have blamed Krishna. You know that in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? At one point, gopis have said, why, you, although you've got four heads, there's not even an ounce of brain in any of your heads. Gopis have said this to Brahma. It's there in the Bhagavatam. You've got four heads, in four directions you can look and see everything, but still not even an ounce of brain inside. Although you've got four heads, you have not a little brain. Because otherwise, why have you created life? Why was they saying that? Gopis were saying, because when you created us, we have got these eyes always twitching. Because when it twitches, we can't see Krishna at that time. That was Gopi's complaint. Why did you create like this? You are no good in creation. They are saying to Brahma. So everybody has complained about Brahma. Brahma got fed up and went to Krishna and told him that this is what, I have done all these things and nobody is happy with me at the end. So when they said that, Krishna says to Brahma, if it is like that, what is the solution then? Creation has to continue. Brahma says, I can tell you one thing. I have a lot of requests. If you agree with all that, then I'll continue with the creation. So Krishna says to Brahma, write it down everything, what your demands are, and bring it to me. I'll look at that, he said. So he wrote down everything, saying there's a lot of things, what he says there in the later chapter in the second canto, where the three chapters, where Brahma instructs Sri Narada Maharshi, Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what is discussed there. He says there that he says to Krishna that these children who are created, that if at least at that, because nobody is getting liberated, everything is taking rebirth coming here again. Nobody is getting liberated. Krishna, Brahma thought that they will get liberated and go away from here once for all, but they were not going away. They are staying back here, and we are saying population is increasing. Population is increasing. You see, this is what's happening. Brahma is saying that people, if they do their job here properly and they leave this world, there will be no overpopulation. Overpopulation is because nobody is going back to spiritual world. Everyone is living here. And the prison is getting overcrowded, material world. So he says that these people, they don't have any capacity for spiritual life. About us, Brahma is saying. They won't understand it. They don't have the brain first thing. Nor do they have the strength of mind to practice spiritual life either. All they know is how to work day and night. That's all they know. So you have to make some concessions. He says to Krishna. Krishna asks, what is the concession you want? He says, if they think about you at the time of death, if they think about you, or at least if they remember one of your many pastimes, at least one of them, and at least if they chant one of your holy names at the time of death, they should be given, send a passage back to spiritual world. Krishna says, I will do that, and he signed the document. That's how the agreement happened. That verse is there in the Bhagavatam. We'll come to that later. That at least at the time, Asuvigame, he says there, isn't it? Teneiva janma shamalam samaseiva hitva. There is a verse. that is the guarantee from Krishna that at the time of death, at least if you chant the holy name once, he should be allowed to go back home, back to Godhead. This guarantee, Brahma got it for us from Krishna on our behalf. He negotiated very well and he got this agreement for our purpose. That's what he has done. So, teneiva janma shamalam samasaiva hitva samyandi apavrutamidam. It is in an earlier chapter. importantes tamajam prabaddi. Okay, we'll look at that later. So, coming back to Chadishlogi Bhagavadam. Chadishlogi Bhagavadam. Here, Krishna is saying here that the Nija Bodharyubam. Somehow or the other, we have to separate it from the soul, the body's existence. And if you do like that, he says, Na vimuhyadi karhichit. Etatam edan madam samadhishta paramena samadhina bhavan kalpa vigalpeshu na vimuhyadi karhichit. Kalpa vigalpeshu na vimuhyadi karhichit. If in this consciousness if you create, in all kalpams you will not be, you'll fall, not fall into illusion. Krishna says to na vimuhyadi karhichit. Na vimuhyadi karhichit. And in other words, what Krishna is saying is there, that whatever that is in the creation, it is all Krishna's different forms, which is present here. How to get this realization, that all living entities are nothing but Krishna's expansions. How to get that realization? It is an important realization, isn't it? How to get that realization? Uddhava asked in Ekadasha Skandam to Krishna. This same thing, isn't it? How will I get that experience? Krishna says, Uddhava, if it's something experience means, it should happen straight away. It should happen straight away. If it's not happening, do one thing, he says. Praname dandavad bhumav asya chandala ghokaram. That's when he says to him, whether it's a chandala or whether it's an animal, dog, cat, or a horse or a donkey, it doesn't matter. Think of them as Krishna's presence and pay your obeisances to them. Pay your obeisances to them. You have to remember here, Krishna is talking to Uddhava this. Uddhava is over 120 years old at that time. And to such, he can't even, he's not anymore strong like in his younger days, isn't it? So, when Krishna is saying to Uddhava this thing, we are 50, 60 years old. And in 50, 60 years, you can see our situation. We can't sit on the floor. We need the chair. We need so many supports, crutches, and all these kind of things. So, and to 120-year-old person, Krishna is saying, you pay your obeisances to dog, cat, horse, and everything. So, Uddhava says to him at that time, he says, praname dandava, dandavad pranam. That's what he's asking. Not ordinary pranam. But dandavat pranam, completely falling down flat on the ground, is saying to Uddhava. So Uddhava says to him, that is a little bit difficult, isn't it, at this stage. So Krishna says to him, if you do that a few times, naturally you will see everything is Krishna's presence will come to you. The experience will come to you. That is vastudandram. It is means, if you have to, you have to accept that first. That's what Krishna is saying to him. Accept this reality that everything is Krishna who is present in this world and then pay your obeisances to other living entity. So he asked him, if you accept that, then the experience will come like that. Krishna says, after some time it will happen. After some time it will happen. Because that is the truth. That's the only thing which is present in everything. So normally, when we read these verses, we'll get the impression that, why is Krishna saying like that? And I've tried it, it didn't happen. Isn't it? It didn't happen. This will be the answer straight away. Why Krishna says to Uddhava, if you do it a few times, it will happen. So where is the difference? Difference is this. Uddhava has very high degree of chitta-shuddhi inside. Purity is very high. Uddhava is such a pure devotee. Krishna knew very well that if Uddhava does it few times, it will happen. We, on the other hand, requires a long way to go before we purify ourselves. And that is the reason why it doesn't happen. What Krishna has spoken is not a false thing. It's a real thing. That if you have reached, that is where bhakti comes. Bhakti's role is that. Bhakti creates that purity inside. Immediately, if you practice it, the knowledge will manifest. You see that difference? And Uddhava's case and our case, that is why it's not happening. We are thinking Uddhava paid a few times obeisances and he started seeing Krishna everywhere. We paid hundreds of times, it hasn't happened anywhere. Nowhere it has happened, it is still the same. Why? In our case, false ego was doing the obeisances. False ego has not gone. Where Uddhava's case, false ego is gone, it's completely pure inside. Only when the inside is pure, that is why Krishna keeps on insisting about bhakti. Chitta Shuddhi must happen first before any knowledge can manifest inside. Jnanam and bhakti is like that. When bhakti, through bhakti, we have to reach that purity inside. When that purity happens, knowledge will naturally, without any effort, will manifest inside. At that time, without your effort even, you will see all living entities as Krishna's presence there. It is not required there. So, bhakti's position is like that. So, you don't have to say to them that I am seeing Krishna in you while paying your obeisances. You don't have to say all that. But inside, if you practice it, but at the same time, although it is like that, how does this purity will happen inside? For example, let's take it this way. We have some ill feeling towards someone in some way inside. And that ill feeling is not going away. The other day one lady spoke to me about this. She phoned and said to me that I'm feeling sometimes something happened in her early life and she developed a very strong resentment towards someone. And that is not going away. Even after chanting a lot, she said, it's not going away from inside. This strong resentment inside. Something. Because if we allow hate anybody, and if you allow that hate to grow, one day a stage will come, you'll never be able to get rid of it from inside. You'll never be able to get rid of it from inside. Sometimes it happens in life, isn't it? And it remains for the rest of the life. Even if you want to wipe it out, it's impossible to do it. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, wherever you have that feeling of ill will or ill feeling towards anyone, as soon as it happens, when you see that person, if you just think that Krishna is there in him, Krishna is coming there. If you start seeing that person in that way, that hate or dvesham inside, what does it will be wiped out straight away. Because it's Krishna there. So you can't hate. You know that. You can't hate Krishna like that. So Krishna is present there. That will be wiped out straight away. Similarly, if you practice it, Krishna says, in due course of time, this ragadvesham will go from inside. Everything will be wiped out from inside. Krishna himself talks about this about Vasudeva and Devi at one stage when Krishna appeared in this world. If you read Bhagavatam, you will notice this. What he says here is that you don't have to say anything to them, but inside, if you keep them as Krishna's presence and if you respect it in that way, then that hate will go away from inside. Hate will go away inside. Sometimes people, as I mentioned that situation, that this lady has been chanting so many years, but that hate is not going. That something happened with the other person with whom she has developed this strong feeling inside. She's finding it difficult to. It comes in the dreams. It comes while chanting. And it's not leaving. And she is still thinking, why is that I am unable to get rid of it? And the person with whom she had this problem, this happened something like, she is now 75, 80 years old. And this happened when she was about 15, 20 years old. And after marriage, something happened in relationship, in life. So the hate hasn't left her. And it is very strong. Suddenly, when she is chanting, all this vasana comes out. And she's saying, even while chanting, I'm not able to get rid of it. So the point is, it is while chanting only this will come out. Otherwise it is hidden. It stays inside in a very dormant state. But when you are chanting, all these vasanas will pop up. And then you can see where the problem is. With whom you have the hate. You may not know this, but if you have worked all your life, you will know it. That in the offices you have to deal with people. You get certain characters who are worse than animals. And you have to live with them. And not 1 hour, 10, 12 hours a day. Under their association. You get the maximum association with them. And you have to live through that for the whole life. And sometimes in the office, because of all the madness that goes on there, that the competition and one-upmanship, all kinds of nonsense what goes on there, every day these people get into your mind when you go home. In the evening, all of them are inside. You'll go and sleep, they'll all come up in the night. You start chanting in the morning, they'll wake up first thing. They are in your mind, isn't it? So they are all there. You can't get rid of them. And next day morning you are going there again, interacting with them in the same way like you did last time. Morning you are chanting, thinking that it will go, and somehow you come to find some peace inside. In the morning, and you go to the office, and then the whole thing is second time again it happens. And day after day, if it happens for 20, 30 years or 10, 15 years, whatever it may be, what will happen? They get permanently settled down inside. And even if you have left them and come away from there, they will pop up in the morning when you start chanting the holy name. That's how powerful this thing called mind is. So, when that situation happens, what should we do? It's not their fault, because they are like that, what can you do? It's our fault that we have let them to get inside. So Krishna is saying here, Pranamaya Dandavad Bhumam Asho Chandala Gogaram. If you see them in the morning, next day when you go to work, and he is still acting in the same way, just say Krishna is doing this, and that is Krishna's another form is coming like this, isn't it? So that's the only way you can come out of it. It is a big lesson in the Bhagavadam to teach us these things. So otherwise it will not happen. See what happened to Vasudeva and Devaki. Let's look at that. When Krishna appeared in the prison house, and Vasudeva and Devaki glorified Krishna in the prison, isn't it? And then Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki that you can take me now to Gokulam, isn't it? To Gokulam. And change there and bring her back here, Maya Devi from the Yogamaya, bring her here and leave me there, he said. So at that point, if you look into Bhagavadam in the 10th canto, you will see there, Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki one interesting thing, but they didn't take notice of it. This is what happened. father, mother, Krishna has come as the son, but nothing happened. They just thought that after all it's our son, what does he know? It's a son, isn't it? What does he know? So that's why Krishna caught Vasudeva and Devaki on this much later, before he left Dwaraka. Vasudeva and Devaki were still thinking, after all he is our son. So he says there that Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Vasudeva glorified Krishna. It's a famous prayer in the Bhagavadam. Vasudeva's glorification of Krishna. After that, Devaki glorified Krishna. Both of them, one after the other, they glorified Krishna. After that, Krishna is replying that. Krishna says to them, Yuvamam putra bhavena, brahma bhavena chasakrat, chindayando krutasneho, yasyede malgadim param. He says, first you should see me as your son, but at the same time, you should also see me as Brahman, the supreme truth, absolute truth. You should see it like that. And thinking like that, eventually you will come to me. You will come to me. This was spoken at the time of appearance to Vasudeva and Devaki. But nothing went inside Vasudeva and Devaki, like us. Vasudeva and Devaki also didn't care anything. They thought, after all, Krishna is there, he is our son. When he is there, why should we worry about anything? In that way they said. After the solar eclipse happened in Kurukshetram, and they all went there, Vasudeva and Devaki started thinking that after so many years, what's happening to us? We are still thinking of Krishna in terms of, this is, Krishna is prompted from within to ask this question, what should we do in our life? It was then that Sri Narada Maharshi came to instruct Vasudeva and Devaki at that point, isn't it? When they came to instruct him, he said Vasudeva and Devaki says to Sri Narada Maharshi that although Krishna has appeared as our son, we still feel that there is no possibility of us getting liberated in this life. Krishna created the situation deliberately for them and told Vasudeva and Devaki, I have given you this instruction, but all through the life you have only seen me as your son. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasagat. Putra bhavam you had, brahma bhavam you didn't have. Therefore you are in this situation. Says to him, chindayando kratasneho, Yasire Malgadim Param. With this thought understanding, you should think about me. You should love me. That I am loving not simply that Krishna who is come as our son, but as the supreme absolute truth, you should love me. That didn't happen to them. So therefore, Krishna says to them that although I have given you this instruction, it didn't happen. And then if you develop this understanding, then after some time things will change. So Krishna also instructed Vasudeva and Devaki this in the beginning, but didn't happen. That is why these nine sages had to come and instruct them again. Vasudeva and Devaki. It was only for Vasudeva and Devaki that these nine sages, Navayogis, came and spoke Srimad Bhagavatam to them. Nimi Navayogi Samvadam happened in that way, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you know. So what I'm saying is that the this conception that Brahman, Krishna is the soul of everyone, present in everybody, that concept, we cannot throw it away. It is necessary. And Krishna says, if you follow that route, Ragadvesham will go away from inside. And we will also, Vivikta Drishte, in the Bhagavatam in another place, it says Vivikta Drishte. Though, in other words, he is seeing this Krishna's presence in every living entity, he is considered to be a Madhubha. Madhubha means like a bee. Bee, how it collects honey from every flower. It only takes a little bit, isn't it? Because it sees only the honey in the flower. Similarly, we have to become like that. In the fourth canto, if you look, you will see in Rudragidam. About Lord Shiva's famous Yogadesham, it's called. Rudragidam was spoken. And there is a verse there which says like this, that Shiva says there in Rudragidam, like a honey bee, one should pick just that honey inside every flower. And what is the honey? Krishna's presence in every living entity. That's what should be noticed. Or Atma. But whichever way you look at it, it is like that. Now, after saying this, everywhere who is present is Krishna, nobody else, isn't it? And you see him everywhere, his presence. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, this is a big topic. If you want to understand this science, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is what you should read. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is what is known as the Antaryami Adhikaranam. Adhikaranam means a chapter. It's kind of a topic, especially discussed for this particular aspect of it. Antaryami Adhikaranam. Antaryami is Krishna. Krishna is present in everyone. Antaryami. Antaryami Adhikaranam it is called. The chapter itself is called Antaryami Adhikaranam. And he says here, Antaryami Adhikaranam, that he says here, it stays in the earth, it stays in the sky, it stays in the space, and the same thing stays in the as Antaryami inside you. There's loads of verses in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is the only topic that is discussed for many, many pages. I'll just read one or two verses just to get a feel for it. You can get a copy of Brihadaranyaka and look at it later if you want to understand it better. It says here that Itam prithivi sarvesham bhudhanam madhu ase prithivyam sarvani bhudhani madhu yascha यश्चायमस्यां पृथिव्यां तेजोमयं अमृतमयं पुरुषः यश्चायम् अध्यात्मं शरीरस्तेजसोमयं अमृतमयं पुरुषः अयमेव स यो अयम् आत्मा इदम् अमृतम् इदम् ब्रह्म इदम् सर्वम् फर्स्ट ही स्टार्ट्स अर्थ इज हनी टू ऑल बीइंग्स एंड ऑल बीइंग्स इज हनी टू दिस अर्थ एंड द सेम शाइनिंग इमॉर्टल बीइंग हु इज इन दिस अर्थ द अर्थ इज अट्रैक्शन टू ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज. Earth is an attractive thing to all the living entities, isn't it? On the earth. Earth is attractive to all living entities. And all living entities are attraction to the earth as well, because she maintains all of us. Mother Earth is keeping us on the earth, isn't it? Providing us everything what we need and looking after us. That is Mother Earth doing. Now this is happening all because of the presence of Krishna there, in her, in the Mother Earth. He is present. The soul is present there. That's what he's saying. So this self-knowledge is the means of immortality. This underlying unity is Brahman. This knowledge of Brahman is the means of becoming all. So it starts like that with one thing. Then next it goes to water. So first with the earth, then with the water. Imam apa sarvesham bhudhanam madhu. Asam abham sarvani bhudhani madhu. Eschayam astu tejomayam amrdamayam purusha. Eschayam adhyatmam tejas tejomayam amrdamayam purushaha. Ayam ayamasa yo ayam atma idam amrdam idam brahma idam sarvam. Like this you will see Upanishad goes one after the other in earth, in water, in air, in ether, in fire. Like this statement one after the other, only because of presence of the soul, Andaryami inside, that all these things are functioning in that way. To prove to the point to us, and in the same way Krishna is saying here, that the as you keep on realizing this Andaryami inside, na vimuhyadi karhichit, that is not the verse he's saying there. Evan madam samadhishta paramena samadhina bhavan kalpavigalpeshu na vimukhyati karhijit. Never again you will fall into that illusion, he says here. Never you will fall into the illusion. In other words, actually there is no such thing as creation, maintenance and dissolution or devastation. Nothing is happening. Only Krishna is existing. All these things are happening as though it appears to us it's happening. I don't know whether you get that. Initially we said creation happened, this happened, that happened, and eventually dissolution and dissolve, what you call devastation will happen and all that. But when realization comes, you will know that there is no such thing called creation what you call the sustenance or dissolution. None of them is happening. Why? Because you have come to the platform of the soul. When you are on the platform of the body, we have to tell you all this story about creation, about distance and dissolution, everything. Only on the platform of the body. Because once you have come to the platform of the soul, these things don't exist. Creation doesn't happen anymore. Creation is happening when you are in the bodily identity. In the spiritual identity, there is no such thing called creation. Similarly, you know what is the type of devastation is discussed in the Bhagavatam at the end, isn't it? You know that. Huh? In 12th canto, 5 kinds of devastation is discussed. Nityam, Pragradam, Nityam, Naimityam, Atyandiyam. 4 kinds of devastation is discussed. So, ultimate dissolution, if you read Bhagavatam, and Puranas also will say that everything will be destroyed. Everything will be destroyed. Which means the earthly planet will not exist anymore. The Sankarsana Murti from the bottom, the fire will come out. And Lord Shiva will be dancing in that heat. So many things are spoken like that there. In the Puranam, that is how it is expressed. But from the Jnanamargam, when that dissolution happens, what actually happens is that self does not exist in that state anymore. Like the conditioned state is gone. It is self-realized. They call that as the dissolution. For that, the solution for them, then the world doesn't exist anymore, isn't it? So that's how it is to be accepted. So you'll see there, Atyandiya Pralayam, if you look in the 12th canto, let's go into that verse, because it's important, that the you'll see there, in the 12th canto, 4th chapter, he says, Krishna says there, that the, Yadaivametene vivega hetinam, mayamaya hangaranam atmabandhanam, chitvachu atmanubhavovatishtade, tamahu atyandiyam angasamplavam. Yadaivametene vivega hetinam, mayamayam ahangaranam, ahangaran atmabandhanam. Our bondage has happened to this world through false ego. It is through this false ego is the most difficult thing to understand. If you ask, where is it? You don't know where it is. You can't find him, but he is there. So through false ego, this bondage with the world has happened. Ahangaram atmabandhanam. That is how this bondage has happened to us. Edaivamedani vivegahedinam. Those who do not have vivegam, discrimination. Mayamayam. Mayamayam it is, isn't it? Maya has created this situation for us. It is through the power of Maya we feel this false ego. Mayamayam, ahankaram, ahankaram, atmabandhanam. Ahankaram has happened and bondage has happened. Atmabandhanam. Chit achyudatma anubhavo avatishtade. When achyudatma anubhavam means self-realization. No more fall down from that. Chit achyudatma anubhavo avatishtade. Tamahu atyandiyam anga samplavam. When you come to that state, Atyandika Pralayam has happened. Atyandika means ultimate devastation has happened. That means practically ultimate devastation means complete destruction of our false ego. That is ultimate devastation. Not that the world will all catch fire or there will be tsunamis all over or world will go on its own way. Who has created, he knows his own. What we have to consider about is ourselves. That's what it says like that. Then with this knowledge, if we should, hangaram tamahu atyandikam ankasamplavam, the great souls, Mahatma says that when your false ego is completely destroyed and fully realized on the spiritual platform, when you are situated in that state, your ignorance is completely gone. First of all, false ego is completely gone. And at the same time, you are situated on the platform of the soul. Lord Krishna is asking Brahma to be situated. And if you are situated in that platform, when your complete ignorance is destroyed totally, and that destruction is called ultimate devastation. Yeah, ultimate devastation. That is what devastation means. We should not take, that when you read Bhagavatam, we may always misunderstand. People ask all this, they read the 12th canto, and they say, when will this happen? And there will be, someone will forecast, is in 2012 or 2013 or something, partial devastation will happen. Some people are asking like that, is it a partial devastation, the tsunami happens or something else happens, whatever it is. But the point is this, devastation means our devastation of the false ego inside us. When the false ego is gone, then this world also does not exist anymore for us, isn't it? Spiritual reality only exists. So, na nirodho na ulpatti sambandha na sadakaha na mamukshu na vai muktaha. When that happens, when the knowledge comes, after that, there is no birth, there is no death, there is no bondage, there is no anyone who is executing any sadhana, there is no someone who is looking for liberation, and there is no someone who is liberated. All these states go away in that state, isn't it? So, so such a person, he has won over creation. For him, creation doesn't exist. Creation, the word used in the Bhagavatam is sargam. Sargam means creation. That is why if you look into Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse Krishna says, a beautiful verse about creation. If you look at the Bhagavad Gita, you will see there, Krishna says that we misunderstand. When you read that verse, you will think Krishna is talking about creation. Actually, creation, what he is referring to is that it is on the 5th chapter, 19th verse. Ihaivaterjita sargo yesham samyestidam manaha nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmanide stidaha. Krishna says, Ihaivater jita sargo. Even when while he is here, he win over the creation. Creation doesn't affect him. He is not anymore. He says here, those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. Conditions of birth and death. Actually, the word used is sargam. Sargam is translated as birth and death. Sargam actually in Bhagavatam is creation. Birth and death is a part of that creation, isn't it? Birth and death is, creation means what? Birth and death. In another terms, if you use it. So, strictly speaking, Krishna is saying here, Ihaivadair jita sargo. Here itself, for him, birth and death is over, which means creation doesn't exist anymore for him. Ihaivadair jita sargo. Right now, it happens to him. That's why he says, Nirdosham hi samam brahma, tasmad brahmani de sthidaha. So, he says here, that person is Brahman already. Yeah, he is already Brahman. Because for him, creation is not existing anymore. And tasmad brahmani desthida. So be situated on the platform of Brahman. This is Krishna is talking about in the 5th chapter. That you may, if you read it directly, you may take it like this. Oh, one whose mind is established, sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. Practically what's happening is, for that person, that he has come to understand that the Krishna's presence in everything And he started seeing the truth behind everything. What is the reality? Realization has happened to him that it is the soul that is manifested in everything, and it is from the soul everything has come about. And at that stage, self-realization has happened to him, so he has escaped from the process of birth and death. It does not happen to him. What you have to remember is, same topic is spoken in different ways at different places, so that somewhere it will click to the person. That's all the idea. In Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says, the same thing Krishna says in Bhagavatam also, isn't it? There he will say, Dehastho Vina Dehastha Vidvan Sapna Adhyadothida Adehastho Vina Dehastha Kumudi Sapna Drakyada. It is the same thing that he is saying there also. So one who has this has happened, he has won over creation. Yes, won over creation. Why? In other words, while situated within this body, he is liberated. And that is the state Krishna has instructed Brahma. And Krishna says, Shrotavyaha, Mandavyaha, Nididhyasidavyaha. Now what we have heard, all these things, these four verses, we should sit in solitude and reflect on that very nicely, very deeply. And all aspects of it, whatever we have discussed so far, aspects of it. And little by little, that experience will come. And when that experience comes, this Jnana Samadhi, or this absolute experience of Nischala Tattva Jivan Mukti, Salsangatve Nisangatvam, Nisangatve Nurmohatvam, Nurmohatve Nischala Tattvam, Nischala Tattva Jivan Mukti. Jivan Mukti comes like that. So first is Salsangam. From Salsangam one develops Nisangatvam, detachment from this world. That's what happens from Salsangam. Nisangatve Nurmohatvam. When detachment comes in the world, the mind settles down and you get freedom from the moham. Delusions goes away. Nirmohatve Nischala Tattvam. When moham or delusion goes away, you are situated on the platform of Tattvam, Nischala Tattvam. And if you are situated on that platform, Jivan Mukti, you are liberated. This is a Jnani's process. Jnani's process. And we will see that Nischala Tattvam within inside. Nischala Tattvam means situated on the platform of the truth. And that is uninterrupted, and it becomes an experience. It becomes an experience. And we ourselves won't know about it. At the moment, our nature, sometimes we feel happiness, and some other time we get angry, isn't it? The mind is like that. And now here, in this state, what will happen is bhakti comes. Bhakti happens to that person. So at the moment, sometimes we feel like that, sometimes we will fall asleep. Now we will have meditation, dhyanam, and some other time we will feel some anger towards someone. This is the nature of the mind. But mind you can never trust. Mind you can never trust. That's the nature of the mind. So, now if you say, I was feeling happy yesterday, you cannot trust that. Because after some time, something else will come to the mind and give you trouble. So, it is not an experience from the mind. It's not an experience by the mind. Experience from the mind. But keeping the mind away, separately from this, what you are experiencing, that is this experience that Krishna is talking about here. Krishna is talking about here. So, at the moment, between one thought and another thought, you remember, Krishna comes. We are not conscious of that. In the Bhagavatam, it is specifically mentioned like that. Between one thought and another thought, have you looked at this way? Suppose you are sitting quietly somewhere, something you are thinking about, some particular thing you are about, somebody or some activity what you have to do, something your mind was thinking about it. Suddenly, something else comes up in the mind, some other thought. Say for example, you are thinking about the office, some work in the office, what you have to do. Suddenly, where does that thought comes? Another thought which pops up in the mind saying that, oh, you have to pick up the children from the school, or you have to do particular shopping, or you have to go to the bank. Absolutely no connection between these two thoughts. This is an interesting thing, isn't it? How it works in the mind. You are thinking about something, but without any warning, another thought comes in. Krishna, Prahlada, Narada Maharshi says to Prahlada, between these two thoughts, who interferes? That's Krishna. Krishna is doing all these things from inside and we don't take notice of it. We never take notice that, why did that happen? That is what Krishna is Narada Maharshi is saying to Prahlada. Prahlada, that is the soul. That is Krishna who is doing that from inside. It is an amazing thing, isn't it? That you are doing thinking something, you are thinking about it, and you think the mind is under your control, and you are thinking all that and planning certain things. Suddenly, all of a sudden, some other thought pops up. Oh, I've forgotten to do that, I got up suddenly. And the other thing, what you are thinking about, dropped straight away and moved after the next one. This happens to everybody, isn't it? Everyone goes through this at some time or the other. What I'm saying is, life is not very well programmed. There is no control on anything what is happening within us. It's all happening, that's all you can say. From morning to night, it's happening. The only freedom what we have is to go along with it. That's the only choice we have. We have no choice. Whole thing is controlled from inside in such a remote way, we don't even know that it's being controlled. So well controlled it is. That we're not even aware of what's going on, and still we think that we are the controllers. And that's why Krishna is saying, Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani maya. This is where that statement is coming from. That in each and every living entity, I am situated within the heart of Santaryami as Ishvara and controls them very well. And this is the best example. And in the Bhagavadam, it is very clearly mentioned this. If you look into discussion between Narada Maharshi and Prahlada. And when you start thinking about it, you have to laugh at yourself. That you think that I'm doing so many things, I'm planning so many things. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. When it happens, you feel happy. When it doesn't happen, you feel miserable about it. All this is life, isn't it? So that's why he's saying here that one chittavritti and another chittavritti, in between he comes and he changes the whole scenario. He changes everything and goes away. That is Krishna. If you accept that, then, and what it's saying is, why we are saying all this thing is, Krishna is not something that you have to get it from outside. Krishna is already there inside. Siddha Vastu. That is what Prahlada has said. And Prahlada was saying that. Siddha Vastu. You will see one thing. Prahlada and Parikshit talks the same language. Have you noticed? Prahlada says, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. Let me look at the verses Prahladas and Parikshit. You will see the interesting thing. Prahlada says there, Siddhatval Anagrahidatval. He says, it's a thing which I already got. It's not something new to happen. In the 7th canto, if you look at there, you will see there in the 6th chapter, that he says there, Krishna, this is Prahlada's words, that, Nahyachudam prinayado, bahvayaso asuralmajaha, almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatval iha sarvadaha. He says, Nahyachudam prinayado, Prahlada is telling to all his friends who are present there, you know, the demons, little demons who are present there. His friends, they are his friends, isn't it? All demons, little ones. He's saying to them, calling them, my little demons, he says, addressing them, that because Hari, Krishna, is the soul of everyone, and because he is present everywhere, you don't have to worry about him. He's present in everyone all the time. And his nature, nahi achudam prinayado bahuayaso asuralmaja, saying to him, asuralmaja, that he says, almatvad sarvabhudanam. He is present in everyone as the soul. Almatvad, as the soul, he is present in everyone. Siddhatvad iha sarvada. You have already got it. It's not something you have to get from outside. So, when Narada Maharshi instructed Prahlada, you can see Prahlada got it very quickly while in the womb, isn't it? All this was instructed. So, he has got it while in the womb itself, before he came out. He had this realization. So, there was no problem at all. He has understood that. Siddhatvad iha sarvada. It is already there and that's what I am. That realization, he had it. This important verse, nahi achyuta prinayato bahvayaso asuralmaja. Almatvad sarvabhudanam. As the soul is present in everyone, and siddhatvad iha sarvada. It's not something you have to get something new from outside. Siddhatvad, already it's there, sarvada, in everybody. He said that, yeah. So, Prahlada was like that. Parikshit Maharaj, when death came, he said that death is going to happen, that fear came and came to Ganga River, sat there. And Sudev Goswami came to instruct him. Isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, you know. Sudev Goswami came to instruct him. So when he was instructing him, after Parikshit was always thinking about Krishna. That's what he was looking for, isn't it? From the womb, when he came out, the person whom I saw in the womb, where, who is it? Who is it? That's how the name Parikshit has come. The name Parikshit has come because of that. So he was inquiring, very sad person. And Parikshit Maharaj heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami for 7 days. And at the end of that, when Parikshit Maharaj was told by Sukadeva Goswami in the 5th chapter, Brahmapadesham was given. In the 6th chapter, the first thing Parikshit says, Siddhosmi. I got it, he says. Krishna didn't come there, did he? Krishna wasn't there, but he says, I got it. So truth is like that. When you say you got Krishna, means you got the truth. That's what it means. Getting Krishna means getting the truth. You get that clarity in yourself who you are. That means you got Krishna. You got Krishna. Because we have not got Krishna, we are seeing we are something different and we are craving for something, so many other things in this world. So the same word you will see, Siddhatvad, Siddhosmi, Anugrahidosmi. In the 7th canto, he said, Siddhatvadiha Sarvada. Everybody has got it. Prahlada realized it, he has got it. Parikshit also realized it. He says, Siddhatvar, Siddhosmi, Anigrahidosmi. So the substance, what you are looking for, is inside. If you keep on looking for it outside, Bhagavatam is saying it will be a long haul. You'll be looking there for forever. But because why? The substance is inside here. Siddhosmi, Anigrahidosmi. So Krishna, we already got it. It's not something new you have to get from outside. And what we have got is Krishna, not the body. We are thinking we have got the material body, isn't it? That's what we are thinking now. But actually what we have got is Krishna, not the material body. Because it's only due to Krishna's presence inside us that we are feeling this awareness of our existence, bodham. Bodham, awareness has come from Krishna. If Krishna wasn't there, this awareness will not be there of our existence, isn't it? So what we have actually got is Krishna, not the body. But in ignorance or avidya, we are thinking we have got the body, not Krishna. You see? So that's an important point. We never got the body actually. It is interesting to think about this body in a little bit more detail. What have we got? What we have got, we eat the food in the morning, we take the breakfast. And once the food has gone in, we don't know what's going on there inside. We think we know everything, isn't it? What goes on there with that particular food, what we have eaten, we don't know anything about it. And we still keep saying, it's my body, we keep saying. What goes on inside the body, once it has gone in, what happens there, no idea what goes on there. Whether it's digested, not digested, no idea. Whether the kidney is working, not working, no idea. Whether the heart is working, not working, no idea. Okay, if only when you are disturbed, you will think about it, isn't it? If some problem happens, then you will go to the doctor and ask about it. Why is it working out? So, body is not something what you can take it as a reality. Although in illusion we think it's my body. All the time we talk about it. But we don't know anything about what is going on inside this body. This is a reality, isn't it? So, not only that, sometimes even if you cut off a hand or a leg or an accident, you lose one of that. In the sleep, you are not even aware of that. You have lost a part of this body. And still I am saying it's my body. Isn't it? That's my body. So, this body, what we are saying, I got this body. Actually, we haven't got any body. That is only a pratibhasam. Pratibhasam means, in the material nature, has put something and making us feeling that it exists. This illusion has created inside by Maya. Maya's activity, that is. So, you can see sometimes for some time it lasts. This pratibhasam or this body lasts for some time, and it will not give you any information about it. Never you will get a full information about your own body, would you? You will never get it. What happens inside? As long as the food goes inside, we are happy. As long as the bowel movement is okay, we are happy. There is no complaint. What happens inside doesn't matter. We'll take prasadam thinking that, oh, it's very nice, prasadam, Krishna prasadam, very tasty. But, and then he says, prasadam is good for you. So you take in that understanding that prasadam is going to help. But ultimately, what is happening inside, nothing is known to us. Prabhupada went to Fiji, and in Fiji what happened was, it's an interesting thing, that Prabhupada was talking there, from Bhagavad Gita, I think, the verses. So audience were not showing much interest in anything. They were not able to understand, you know, all the things. Something was going on like that. So at one point Prabhupada says to him, come and take prasadam. Eat, 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 he said. Three times he said. You eat as much as you want, he said. And then you'll be infected, he said. You'll be infected. Because there's no other way except eating for you. You have to eat as much as you can, prasadam, he said. One day, you'll be infected by prasadam and Krishna will get in, he said. That's the only way he could think of, he says. So, but Prabhupada was saying like that, nobody took it very offensively or anything. They, in a very nice way, he put it like that. It's just to show that when we don't understand that this body is not something you can take so seriously. But what to do? We are in this body. We got involved in this and unable to escape from that. And as I said before, when we were discussing on Saturday, all this body has done so far to us is whole life it has frightened us. Isn't it? From beginning to end, it is frightening us all the time. Tomorrow what will happen? Day after tomorrow what will happen? Old age is coming. Disease is coming. And eventually death will come. And it will frighten us to the last moment and then it will go. After doing all that, this is the only favor it's doing to us. And in return, whole life we are busy decorating this and looking after it and everything. Isn't it? So this is the unfortunate situation. Yadha bhasam yadha dhamma. Maya's work. That is how Maya has trapped us in this big trap. Unable to escape. Nobody can escape from that trap. Whether it's Bill Gates, whether it's Mumbani, it doesn't matter. They are all subjected to this very same rule. There's no escape route from that. So that's why he's saying here, that no information, and suddenly one morning my relationship with the body is over. Isn't it? When the death happens, gone. So, what has happened while living in this body? Did a lot of things and a lot of dreams. That is what it has happened. So, how can you say this body is mine? On what authority are we saying that this is my body? Except that the body was there for some time, and during that time, you have experienced some things in your subtle body and you have dreamt a lot, you did a lot of work with this body and then you have gone and you keep saying it is your body. So just like there is a tree standing outside, one of those trees you can see, look at outside and you don't know anything what's going on inside that tree, do you? If you want to know what is all happening there, Prabhupada gave the example of coconut trees. He says, such an amazing thing, a coconut tree is standing there. And one day you go and pick up this coconut from the top, cut it, tender coconuts, and you cut it and you drink the sweet water from inside. Who pumped the water all the way from here, from the earth to the top? Where is that water came in? All amazing things happening in the nature, by material nature's arrangement. And we still think in the same way. He says, actually, if you say this to others, and if you want to know anything what is happening, there is practically no difference between that tree and our body. We don't know anything what's happening in the tree. We don't know anything what's happening inside our body either. Nothing we knew. But only thing is, if you go and pinch the tree, it won't protest. It won't feel any pain. But if you pinch ourselves, you'll feel the pain, isn't it? So is that not a difference? You may ask the question, actually, who is feeling the pain? It is the false ego inside is feeling the pain. See, this is the nature of the false ego. False ego is actually, which is called a jiva, is who is experiencing the pain. It is not experienced by the soul. So that is why when we come to understand this is, the body is not ours, whereas Krishna is ours. Isn't it? The soul, which is Krishna is present inside. That is ours. That is us. Not this body. When that realization comes, and that is what it is, we have got permanently, not the body. Body is not that has been given to us permanently. What has been given to us is the soul, which is present in the form of awareness in all of us. This is called upalabdhi. Upalabdhi. Upalabdhi means that we have misunderstood something, we have got it, which we don't have it. We have got something, which we think we haven't got it. This is spiritual life. Spiritual life is this clarity inside. What we have got, we don't recognize. What we haven't got, we have mistaken, we have got it. Body, we think we have got it, but actually we haven't got the body. What we have got is Krishna. What we have got is Krishna, that we are not taking it seriously. You're not taking it seriously. If you look into the 11th canto, in the 3rd chapter, in verse 38, Pipalayana Maharshi says this. Upalabdhi, he says there. See, Bhagavadam, when sages talk, they talk the truth. And they talk it very precisely. Isn't it? We will never understand that no university will tell you these things. Will they? They will never tell you. So there, if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see there that that verse, particularly that verse, he says there that yesterday we talked about this verse, that how the upalabdhi matram, yeah. Nalpa jajana namarishyadi naithade sau nakshiyade savanavidhi abhijarinam hi sarvatra shashya anaba upalabdhi matram prano yade indriya balena vikalpidam sal. This is one of the verses from Pipalayana Maharshi. Pipalayana Maharshi is saying here, soul has never born nalpa jajana namarishyadi. It never dies. It never increases, never dies. And balyam yavanam kamaram vardhikim. Boyhood, childhood, youthfulness, old age. It is a witness to all that things. It's a witness to all those things. All time, the soul is full of knowledge. All time, the full of knowledge. And this knowledge alone comes through the senses in different forms. And it starts giving the experience of this world in different ways. Similarly, pranan, the life air, how it follows the soul even while transmigrating from one body to another. Then similarly, in all its activities, in all prano indriya balena vigalpidam sal sarvatra shashvat anava upalabdhi matram. That upalabdhitvam, how it moves, pranan moves away. Similarly, and this knowledge of the soul also stays unchanged in all situations. That means, when we leave this body, and if we have to accept another body, what happens is, the knowledge of the soul never changes. It remains the same, because soul by nature is eternal, blissful and full of knowledge. What actually changes is the subtle body, not the soul. Soul doesn't go through any of the changes. So there it says, Nitya Siddhatvam, that knowledge is already there in the soul. It's permanently present there. And what the spiritual master does is, he gives you this realization of the knowledge of the soul. That is what you are. He makes you aware that you are not this subtle body where ignorance is filled in, which you have accepted as your identity, and we keep on changing our bodies here. With the mercy of the spiritual master, what will happen is, he establishes the truth that you are not this body, material body, but you are that soul who is inside. And that knowledge of the soul is what he establishes inside a disciple. That is what he does. Purna vastu. That soul is complete in itself. And give your attention towards that. If you accept that, quickly everything happens. Everything happens quickly. The moment you accept it, Bhotam Asmi, I am that consciousness. I am Atma Brahma. Aham Brahmasmi. This awareness comes to him. And this is what the sages have done in parambara, in disciplic successions, and in different sages through their parambara, this is what they have done. And this is exactly Brahma has Krishna has spoken to Brahma also. And that parambara is what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken to Parikshit. And just like you, if you look at the banana plant, how it goes, have you seen banana plant, how it is grown? Banana tree will grow, and at the bottom you will see a small banana plants coming out from that. From the same root, it will come out. So what you do, you take the smaller ones, separate them out, and plant them, and they will grow as another new banana plant. It will grow. In the same way, it will happen. And from there, another offspring will come. Similarly, this knowledge has come through parambara, through sages, in the same way. It stayed like that. It never got change. Purvesham abhi guruhu. So that this is a gurudattam, and this is what Krishna has spoken. This has to happen in our practical realization. And from this one verse, aham evasam evagre nanyadyat sadasat param paschad aham yadedacha yovashishyada sosmiham. To get this point across, whole 18,000 verses were spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This from this one verse. You know, the expansion of that one verse is the whole Srimad Bhagavatam has come from that. Sosmiham. And this is the other three verses after the first verse is in relationship with the first verse. First verse is the most important one. Aham evasam evagre. To prove that and to explain about this world, the influence of Maya, the other three verses were spoken. Why we are not feeling the first verse? Why we are not getting the first realization? To prove that, the other remaining three verses were spoken. This is how in Vedic system, there is one verse, the truth will be spoken, and remaining things are spoken to prove to us that we are in ignorance. We are under the influence of ignorance. Krishna says here, only I existed in the beginning. Only I exist now. In the end also only me exist. Nothing else exists. This is the proof. And nothing else. Egam eva adhidiyam brahma neha nanasti kinchana. That's one thing that existing in the beginning. Alone exists at the end. Nothing else exists. If anything, this, if one reflect on this, follow it properly, eventually he will attain peace. Peace will happen to that person. And that peace is knowledge. And that peace is what is called self. Shandoyam almaha. Shandi is samadhi. Shandi is bhakti. And shandi is required. Otherwise, everything, the shanti will happen to everyone. This is the message of Chatushloki Bhagavatam. So, Chatushloki Bhagavatam finishes there. You have heard last four days, Chatushloki Bhagavatam. You may have understood something. Sometimes you may have thought this is not making any sense or whatever, I don't know. Whatever it is, the main thing is, if this message is kept inside, and if some time is devoted to understand this message of this Chatushloki Bhagavatam, and if these four verses, if you constantly reflect on it, if you get time, read through it and reflect on it, what we discussed on that basis, you will notice that your thinking also will change. What we are conditioned to think in a particular way. To think in the Shastric way is to go through this way and reflect on it. Let's see what Srila Prabhupada has to say about Chatushloki Bhagavatam, which I wanted to read through. If you look into its long purports, for that. So we can't read through the whole thing. It'll take hours to read through. But if you look into the verses, the verse number, say for example, verse Canto 2, chapter 9, text 36.
Etava deva jitnyasyam tattva jitnyasun alpana anvayam vidregabhyam etsyal sarvatra sarvada.
This Anvaya Vedrigam we will discuss in one class separately on its own, because then it will get more and more clarity will come. Unfortunately, whole of Bhagavatam is Anvaya Vedrigam. Anvaya Vedrigam is the main thing. It's same here. Anvaya Vedrigabhyam etsyal sarvatra sarvada. I'll read, you got this verse? 36. Chapter 9, 36. Yeah? A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. Then, to unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yogam, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries, or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways, by Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Dhyana Yogam, Raja Yogam, Bhakti Yogam. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who is developed conscious in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self. The cosmic situation of the cosmic situation and the problems of life
in all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here, the goal of all such inquiries is explained. Next paragraph is important. Prabhupada is saying, the Vedanta Sutra philosophy begins with this inquiry about life, and the Bhagavadam answers such inquiries up to this point, or the mystery of all inquiries. This is talking about this, Chalishloki Bhagavadam. He says here that Lord Brahma wanted to be perfectly educated by the personality of Godhead, and here is the answer by the Lord, finished in four nutshell verses, from Aham Eva to this verse, Etavad Eva. They are called the nutshell verses. And here, Brahma is getting educated. Then he says here, this is the end of all self-realization process. This is the end of all self-realization process. That means, this Chalishlogi is so important that it is based on this, the whole Bhagavadam has come. This knowledge in the Chalishlogi. Men do not know that the ultimate goal of life is Vishnu or the Supreme Personality of God due to being bewildered by the glaring reflection in the darkness, and as such everyone is entering into the darkest region, material existence, driven by the uncontrolled senses. Whole material existence has sprung up because of sense gratification. Desires based principally on the sex desire, and the result is that in spite of all advancement of knowledge, the final goal of all the activities of the living entities is sense gratification. That is the world where senses are busy. Sense gratification. Isn't it? Yeah. But here is the real goal of life, and everyone should know it by inquiries put before a bona fide spiritual master, expert in the science of Bhakti Yoga, or from a living personality of Bhagavadam life. Everyone is engaged in various kinds of scriptural inquiries, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives answers to all of the various students of self-realization. This ultimate objective of life is not to be searched out without great labor or perseverance. One who is imbued with such sincere inquiries must ask the bona fide spiritual master in the disciplic succession from Brahmaji, and that is the direction given here. Because the mystery was disclosed before Brahmaji by the Supreme Lord, the mystery of all such inquiries regarding self-realization must be put before such a spiritual master who is directly the representative of the Lord, acknowledged in that disciplic succession. Such a bona fide spiritual master is able to clear up the whole thing by evidence from the revealed scriptures, both direct and indirect. Although everyone is free to consult the revealed scriptures in this connection, one still requires the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. And then it goes on. It's a long commentary after that. So here, that Krishna says here about the Brahma inquired, and Krishna gave it, isn't it? But because it was Brahma and because it was Krishna, Krishna said, I'll give you the whole thing as a package, take it, isn't it? But in our state, present conditioned soul means he has to have all that angam, which is related with the jnanam. Jnanam tadangam, isn't it? Tadangam, what is angam? Purvangam, I mentioned before, that is our nitya anitya vastu vivegam, that discrimination inside of permanent and temporary thing. Then detachment from this world, vairagyam, ihamutra phala bhoga vairagam. Then shamam dhamam tidiksha uparadi shraddha samadhanam, the qualifications necessary for a spirit person who is seeking for knowledge. Above all, mumukshatvam, intense desire for liberation. These are all purvangam, before the inquiry. And uttamangam, after that is shravanam mananam nididhyasanam. After receiving this knowledge from Srimad Bhagavatam, we have to execute shravanam, hear it, then mananam, chew over it, and nididhyasanam, and get clarification of that truth, filter it out, the truth from everything, and to be fixed on that truth, that is nididhyasanam. So, shravanam mananam nididhyasanam is the uttamangam, and Nityanitya Vastu Vivegam, Ihamutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam, Shamadam Shal Sambhati, Mumukshatvam is the Purvangam. In between that, Krishna is giving the knowledge to Brahma. Krishna says to him, Purvangam, Jnanam, and then after that the Vijnanam, realization of all that. So Krishna says to Brahma, I am giving you the Purvangam, I am giving you the Jnanam, I am giving you the Vijnanam, and I am also giving you the Uttamangam.
everything together as a one package, you can have it. But we are not given like that. We have to start with the Purvangam, we need everything, then we need the knowledge, then we need the realization, and then after that, that realization has to stay inside, and then it is complete. Then it is complete. So this is how the Chatushloki Bhagavatam is given that importance in the Srimal Bhagavatam. So Chatushloki Bhagavatam, this one message to talk, all Bhagavatam 18,000 verses were spoken. To get this one. That means self-realization is the goal. Before death happens, we have to escape from this body. After death, we can't do anything about it. The only choice is to get another body and come start the whole business again, one after the other. And all the misery attached with that. So, in order to stress that self-realization, how self-realization happens, and what all necessary preparations necessary prior to self-realization, this Chatushloki Bhagavatam was spoken, particularly this first verse, Aham evasam evagre nanyadyat sadasatparam paschad aham yadedacha yuvashishyada sosmiham. If you have realized that, then the problem is finished once for all. There is no more misery after that. Bodily identity is over while we are living within this body. And then when we leave this body, then you don't have to accept another body again. This is Krishna's guarantee in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, there is no difference. Practically, there is no difference. Bhagavad Gita talks about knowledge, isn't it? Jnana Margam is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita at a later. And Bhakti Margam also is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita according to Adhigarityam, according to one's qualifications. After hearing all these things, if nothing has happened, nothing went in, nothing worked, doesn't matter, not to worry about it. But at least if we know this exists, and if we surrender to Krishna, everything will happen. So, there is nothing to fearful about spiritual life. Oh, nothing is happening, nothing is happening. You don't have to worry like that. Krishna is so kind that He has given us, He knows our situation, that everyone is not that super intelligent. He will understand all these things and everyone will practice it and He will come back to me with full realization. Krishna knows that it's not going to happen. Therefore, what we are discussing in the Ekadasya Skandam, Bhakti Margam. But that we have to be followed through honestly. Otherwise it won't happen. Whatever we do, if it's not done in an honest way, it will not happen. No results will come. So bhakti process makes it a lot. This is where the beauty of bhakti is. Bhakti, even though Jnana Margam is very attractive and it is something you feel you should give it a go or give it a try, it may not happen because it is a lot of effort required and guidance and that renunciation, detachment, so many things associated with that. We don't have any of those things. We don't have that. It is not easy. And jnanis who have reached that stage, all you can do is to pay your obeisances to them who have got to that state. But that does not mean that we have to give up spiritual life. Spiritual life never finishes there. Krishna has given alternatives also. And as I mentioned yesterday, that as far as Krishna is concerned, for a devotee, He will give everything. If the knowledge is there, doesn't matter. It will be given at the point when Krishna feels it's necessary to have that knowledge. So, perseverance, and particularly in this age, the only choice we have is to chant the holy name. If we chant the holy name with all this understanding, mercy will come from Krishna. We have to have that faith. One day Krishna will open up the door. He will say to us, after all, you have accepted that you are helpless. After all, you have come to me with this understanding that none of this knowledge in the Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita is working for me. I can't do anything about it because already I have been educated in the wrong way from the very beginning. I got everything wrong from the day one. And now at this old age, I am trying to rectify everything. It's not going to happen. I'm helpless about it. If we have reached that realization, that's enough. Nothing more is required. At least Krishna is saying to us that you thinking you are very knowledgeable, but you know nothing. That is Krishna's point, telling us openly. That real knowledge is not there in any one of us, isn't it? What we have acquired is a lot of information from this world and we are walking around in this world thinking that we are all very educated. Practically, we have no education as far as Shastram is concerned. Education is those who have understood what Bhagavatam is saying and who has realized that, that is education. What we have got is a lot of information from this program, how to run this program, how to run that program, how to design this machine, how to design that machine, how to fly the aeroplane, how to fly in the ships. This is what we have got. We know nothing about ourselves, isn't it? So that kind of knowledge, Krishna says, don't get too much proud about that. The knowledge is, real knowledge is in relationship with the soul. When one understands the soul and what the soul's capabilities are, then you will know that all this information, knowledge, what we have acquired through our 10, 15 years in the university is all a waste of time, complete waste of time. That's not even considered even knowledge by the Shastram. Shastram completely rejects all that. So there were nothing to feel after hearing Chatushloki Bhagavatam. If you haven't felt that it is not the process for you, don't worry about it. Just heard it, understood something out of it, and some benefit may come from that at some time. Even while in the chanting process, these thoughts may come through, what Krishna has spoken here to Brahma. But Chatushloki Bhagavatam is the message in the Bhagavatam. And that message Krishna has spoken through devotees, and the best example, Parikshit Maharaj, also there in the Bhagavatam to prove to us that this is what happens. Siddhosmi, Anigrahidosmi. I realized who I am. That's all I need to know. I don't have to know anything. Whether I should go to the moon, I should go to the Mars, whether I should go to another planet. Our inquiry is like that at the moment. Is there water in the moon? Can we go to the Mars? Things like that. This is our inquiry at the moment, isn't it? That inquiry all will stop at that moment. Inquiry, all inquiry comes to an end when we realize the self. When we realize the self. Because that's the only truth in the whole thing. Nothing else to be inquired after. So we'll stop there. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada.